This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
The U.S. government has launched a good news offensive in Iraq, using as props Two Boys Commerce Secretary Don Evans spotted by the road selling soft drinks to Baghdad's parched drivers. Evans said thousands of new businesses have sprung up here since the war, pointing out the Two Boys selling soda pop, but apparently ignoring the man who runs the Bank of Baghdad, Muwaffaq Mahmoud, who said unhappily, no one is applying for credit. Some people are having a hard time believing media caught between Iraq and a hard place in this American war zone, between the Bush administration that wants only to report a positive spin, and news media's own duty to report the facts. The Senate defied President Bush on Thursday and voted to convert half of his $20.3 billion Iraqi rebuilding plan into a loan, dealing the White House an embarrassing foreign policy setback. Despite an administration lobbying blitz that in recent days involved virtually every top administration official, the Republican-run chamber voted 51-47 for a bipartisan proposal making $10 billion of the aid alone. Its approval by the Senate marked the first congressional vote in opposition to Bush's policies in Iraq. It was also the latest of several setbacks that Congress has dealt him in recent months on issues including concentration of media ownership, new rules on overtime pay, and travel to Cuba. Prime Minister John Howard brushed aside charges he was a puppet of the United States after U.S. President George W. Bush called the Canberra government Washington's sheriff in Asia. Can I make it very clear? I don't see this country as being a sheriff, a deputy sheriff, as having any kind of enforcement role in our region, Howard said in a radio interview when asked about Bush's remark. American soldiers in Iraq have made heavy use of phones there to reach out and touch families back home. Some military families complain those calls have virtually stopped because of a huge increase in phone charges. The guys are very upset over there, said Edith Beach of Kirksville, Missouri. My husband said morale stinks. Sergeant First Class David Beach survived an ambush in which one of his comrades was wounded. He and his wife last spoke Monday night. He and his comrades are now paying AT&T up to $2 a minute to call home. More news after this.
Hi, my name's Maria, and I'm alive today because I was given CPR last year by Rick,
who took a class with the Red Cross after I received blood from Jamal, who gave blood
after being encouraged by my friend Angela,
who helped Jamal's whole family get the help and support they needed after losing their home to a fire.
When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. By getting involved with the Red Cross, you never know how many people your actions will affect. To get involved, visit redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together, we can save a life.
A 74-year-old Wisconsin man hit a hole-in-one and bowled a perfect 300 game in a 24-hour span earlier this week. Paul Hughes, a retired plumbing business owner, sank the hole-in-one on Monday afternoon and bowled the perfect game on Tuesday. Accomplishing both feats is rare, but it's apparently been done before. A South Dakota man is credited with doing the two in July 2000. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, Sneezy, go to sleep.
I can't.
You could if you take NyQuil. It'll help your symptoms. So you'll sleep great. You know, like you do when you cuddle on the couch with a warm fleece blanket, a cozy fire, and a chick flick.
Now that's my kind of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved Liquicaps.
Fat. Americans are fat. Our children are fat. Our pets are fat. We've become a nation of unhealthy chubbos, thanks largely to the fact that we snarf down too much of too many overfatty foods. In the face of this growing health problem, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association has come out with just what the doctor didn't order. Cheeseburger fries. Yes, strips of deep-fried cheeseburgers. Instead of something lean and light to meet America's nutritional needs, the big beef purveyors have concocted a fat-soaked, calorie-laden new snack item guaranteed to add to our total tonnage. Shaped like oversized French fries, this plump delicacy is made by mushing ground beef and cheese nuggets together, then breading the mixture and plunging the strips into the deep fryer. Just one of these sticks of nutritional dynamite contains about 75 calories and up to 6 grams of fat. But no one eats just one. They generally come 5 to an order. So in one quick setting, you can pump a greasy 375 calories and 30 grams of fat into your bod. Now, I'm certainly no dainty prig of an eater. I grew up eating corn dogs and Frito pies. I just recently enjoyed a batch of deep-fried cheese curds in Minnesota, and nachos with refried beans and cheese are a way of life for me. But there's already plenty of tasty fat in our lives without larding in an extra fatty finger snack. Especially galling is the intention of the beef boys to force their corpulent creation on our children. They're now trying to market cheeseburger fries to public school cafeterias, peddling a version that contains the most fat of all. This is Jim Hightower saying, but kids' nutrition be damned. There's beef to be sold. This is about raw profiteering. As the Beef Association says, we want beef in dessert if we can get it in there. Oh, goody, cheeseburger ice cream coming up next.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Where'd the music go? Good evening, truth seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this Friday evening. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. The phone number here, if you'd like to join in the fun and frivolity, 800-TALK-YES. That's 800-825-5937. You can email during the program to MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net if the spirit moves you. Prescott Bush, George Bush's grandfather, and the Nazis finally get some mainstream media attention. We'll come to that in a second. Do you read Boondocks, Aaron Magruder's comic strip? It is so good that both Boondocks and Doonesbury here in Atlanta are run on a separate page from the comics page because they're so politically charged. our comics pages here in Atlanta can't stand political satire. No. Anyway, if you follow Boondocks, you know that Condoleezza Rice has been a subject of the strip for the past few days. The kids in the strip have come to the conclusion that, where have we heard this before, right? All Condoleezza Rice needs is a good man. And everything will be okay. She'll stop taking out all her angst and nastiness on the world. Now, you know, you could argue, well, she needs a good man or a good woman, one of the two. But the point they're trying to make is that she needs an outlet for her normal, natural inclination, like most of us, to love and sex. And she doesn't seem to have one. So that's been the subject of Boondocks. As you probably also know, all the characters in Boondocks are African-American. Mostly kids. Kind of like a really hip Peanuts. You know, that's an unfair comparison. Peanuts came out in, what, started in 1952, 53, something like that, right? But you know Boondocks. Well, guess what? The Washington Post that carries Boondocks on its comics page, the Washington By God Post, has suspended the comic strip for this week because Aaron Magruder has his characters talking about Condoleezza Rice needs a honey. Huh? This past Tuesday, Aaron Magruder had one of his young characters say the following, quote, "Maybe if there was a man in the world who Condoleezza truly loved, she wouldn't be so hell-bent to destroy it," end quote. Now, a representative for the Washington Post says they will not be resuming the strip until Sunday, and also said, this Washington Post rep said, "We had no way of knowing whether Mr. Magruder's assertion that Condoleezza Rice had no personal relationship was true or not." Now, the New York Daily News that checked out the story called Rice's office and got no return phone call. Yeah, like Condoleezza Rice going to call back and say, "Hello, yes, oh, yeah, okay, I have a man, okay, or a woman, or both." Or No, that's not going to happen. A representative for Aaron Magruder told the New York Daily News, not a single other paper in the nation chose to abort this week's strip, except the Washington Post. What do you make of that, huh? Anything? Boondocks, of course, is the single most cutting-edge comic strip in the country. Used to be a Doonesbury, but I think Gary Trudeau, who does Doonesbury, is starting to get he's starting to go a little bit too centrist, or maybe become a Republican. I hope he doesn't, but his strip is except when they're talking about the Duke. When the Duke is involved in something, like right now, the Duke is there's a U.S. military hit squad after the Duke, kind of like the way they went after Colonel Kurtz in Heart of another senior moment. Francis Ford Coppola's movie, Apocalypse Now. God, I've got to increase the calcium intake. Ginkgo biloba, one of the two, I don't know. But so anyway, where was I? So in Doonesbury, they're going after the Duke, who's really based on Hunter Thompson, a hit squad. I got to kill him because he's taken over a certain section of Iraq. I don't know why I'm off on that tangent. But interesting to me that Aaron Magruder's Boondocks was dropped by the Washington Post because for the week, just for the week, because Aaron Magruder is having his characters do Condoleezza Rice. Also in New York Post. Now, that was the Daily News. This is the Post. This was interesting. A couple of days ago, I wanted to get this in this week. Here's how the article reads. Let me just quote for you.
"A desperate drug-addicted Rush Limbaugh begged his dealer to score him a final explosive dope cocktail just 2 weeks before he attempted to detox last year," a new report says. The call was one of dozens the conservative radio host made to his housekeeper, Wilma Klein, who doubled as his supplier. Limbaugh wrote in an email to Klein, according to the latest edition of the National Enquirer, quote, "Just 2 weeks to detox. I kind of want to go out with a bang, if you get my drift." Limbaugh's former housekeeper claimed she helped the radio host buy 30,000 hydrocodone, Lorset, and OxyContin pills from black market suppliers. She said Limbaugh would sometimes call and email her several times a day begging her to buy him more drugs. In one email message in January of last year, the tabloid reported that Limbaugh said or wrote, quote, "I'm leaving town next Wednesday and may need to restock on Tuesday, if possible. An additional 100 or 200 would do." Klein also said her former boss was so desperate to get his hands on painkillers that he pressured one man into handing over pills prescribed for his wife after she'd had a miscarriage. Klein said he had also scored pills from a stenographer with a broken leg. Ms. Klein said,
"He was shameless. If he knew anyone who was suffering from pain, he would try to persuade them to share their pills."
Sources yesterday told the New York Post that Limbaugh may have gone to the exclusive Sierra Tucson rehab facility in Tucson, Arizona. The center would not confirm Limbaugh's presence.
Okay. Just you know, we've got to have Limbaugh updates, right? He's a very important figure. He is so important that it looks like, you know, when you have somebody as important as Rush Limbaugh, somebody as well-known as Rush Limbaugh, someone who is such an arbiter of a politically correct activity and thought and orientation, when you have somebody as wonderful and just astonishingly perfect as Rush Limbaugh, well, is it any wonder that U.S. athletes would try to emulate him, right? Well, a possible doping conspiracy involving previously undetectable steroids is now shrieking its way across the U.S. track and field community. The media has been talking about this all day, right? The U.S. Anti-Doping Agency said yesterday that several track and field athletes tested positive for THG, a laboratory-created compound made with an anabolic agent that is on the prohibited substance list, blah, 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 blah. See what Rush Limbaugh encourages? Now, one has to assume that a lot of these athletes have looked at Rush Limbaugh as a leader, as a force for good and decency and the American way and mom and the flag and liberals are just rats and scum and vermin, and thank God for Rush. I want to be like Rush. Quick, give me the dope now. This has to be a Limbaugh's fault. Has to be. Because athletes are like Rush. They're strong and courageous competitive and determined and focused, and their talent comes from God. Right? What? You say this is a stretch? Blaming this possible alleged incident of doping across the U.S. track and field team, that it's wrong to blame Limbaugh? Is it? But I thought 5-6 years ago, when Lucy Ann Goldberg and that crazy psychotic freak who recorded Monica Lewinsky's phone calls about having oral sex with Bill, I thought because of that, Bill was oral sex. Everybody. No, not the case. Seems like the only people who had moral failings when we discovered that Bill Clinton had oral sex and lied about it were Republicans. Look at the list of Republicans that have gone right down the sewer since then. But anyway, big doping scandal in the U.S. track and field community. Alleged doping scandal. Rush Limbaugh's hands and fingerprints are all over it. All over it. Jackie's calling from Kansas City. Hey, Jackie. Kansas City, Kansas, is different from Kansas City, Missouri, right?
Yeah, it is different.
Yes, it is.
How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing fine.
You know, the Boondocks, I read in the Kansas City Star this morning that the Washington Post had pulled the Boondocks commercial.
Yeah.
Or cartoon.
Uh-huh.
Well, I tracked down their ombudsman.
Did you?
And sent Mr. Gettler email that said, you know, we've kind of been enjoying that all week at the office. We thought it was pretty hysterical.
I did, too. I thought it was funny.
Maybe she does need a boyfriend.
Or somebody. For Condi. We're talking about Condoleezza Rice.
Yeah.
Maybe she... When did political satire in this country become verboten, become off-limits, become something the Washington Post shies away from, huh?
9/11, 2001.
Is that what it was?
I think that could be what it was.
I think that's part of it. Maybe the fact that the Bush crime family are also thin-skinned, they'll just have a hissy fit and cancel the subscriptions with the Post. Or worse, they will tell the Post that they're persona non grata where it concerns White House press conferences, right?
Actually...
Hey, hold on a second. I'll come right back to you. Got to take a quick break here. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away Juicy gummies on Halloween.
Hmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells Juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get your stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts, because you can get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate. Remember, nothing lights up the road like halogen. And like everything Napa sells, our halogen headlights are manufactured to the highest industry standards. This is the good stuff. So come into Napa and get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate.
Get the good stuff.
Napa, get the good stuff.
The Mike Molloy Show.
In an interview with the Associated Press, Kennedy said the case for going to war against Iraq was a fraud made up in Texas to give Republicans a political boost, and the money for the war is being used to bribe foreign leaders to send troops.
Well, Tom DeLay, the bug man.
He reminds me so much of Dennis Hopper's character in Blue Velvet. Remember Frank Booth? What was he sucking? What was it, nitrous oxide? That's what DeLay reminds me of. Only DeLay wouldn't be doing nitrous oxide. DeLay would be doing one of those weird bug-killing chemicals, like parathion. You know, it's my understanding that stuff gets you real high right before it kills you.
That's the lowest thing I've ever heard. The lowest thing I've ever heard coming out of Kennedy's mouth.
This is the Frank Booth character from David Lynch's Blue Velvet. There's no question about that, True Seekers.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
Truth seekers celebrate. Right wingers beware. More of Mike Molloy.
24 past the hour. We are talking with Jackie, who called in from Kansas City, about the Washington Post suspending the Boondocks comic strip, because the comic strip addresses Condoleezza Rice's possible need for a man in her life, so she'd stop helping to engineer the destruction of the world. So you talked to the ombudsman at the Washington Post. What did he say, Jackie?
I emailed him.
Oh, you emailed him, right.
And said we were not amused,
yeah,
because even in the heartland, we can appreciate the comic,
mm-hmm,
you know, the cartoon, and it's like, oh, wait a minute. Sorry. And I haven't had anything yet, you know, but it's like, Mr. Gettler, would you like to respond to this? And then I did tell him that maybe because we were outside the echo chamber of the Beltway, we appreciated it more than they did.
Yeah. Well, let us know if you get an answer from him.
Well, okay. And you know what? There's one. Can I ask you another question?
Sure, go right ahead.
You know, the Republicans have had this Southern strategy, okay?
Yeah.
And it started with Nixon.
Right.
Et cetera, et cetera. Right. But since I've been listening, and I get you on satellite. Since I've been listening, you have an awful lot of Southern-sounding men.
Say it again?
Southern-sounding men.
Yeah, what about them?
Does that mean the Democrats can make some headway in the South?
If what?
If all these guys I hear on your show.
Oh yeah. Oh sure. Not everybody here in the Deep South, Jackie. Not all white males in the Deep South are right wing Bible thumping, Christ killing freaks, evangelical Christians. We're not. There are a lot of white Southern males. And some of us may talk like that. You know what I'm saying? It just depends on what part of the country.
I've heard that guy.
Well, I've got maybe 10 guys that talk like that. And we can, I say we, I've only been in the South for 40 years, so I guess I'm not really considered a Southerner yet. But there are a lot of white Southern males who are as liberal as anybody in Kansas City, who are as faithful to the U.S. Constitution as anybody in New York, who are as determined to get rid of this crime family that George Bush represents as anybody in Madison, Wisconsin. Don't let regional accents fool you. I know you don't, but I'm just saying, you know, I think people make a big mistake when they hear somebody say, "Hi, Mike, well, guess what? Over here in East Elbow, Alabama today, we did that." You know, the automatically people think, "Wow, there's a redneck." No, not true.
It's not true.
No.
And I thought about it yesterday morning before going to work, and I went, you know, there are people in the South who are not conservative Republicans.
Lots of us. Lots of us, Jackie. Just a whole ton of us. Jackie, it's time for a news break. Thanks.
Mr. Malloy, have a nice evening.
Thank you, Jackie. I appreciate you checking in. You have a nice evening, too. Yeah, that's a regional bias. I'm not getting Jackie's case at all. Not at all. Thank you for being so honest to bring that up. But you know how it is. Hell, I do the same thing every time I want to mimic, and I try to correct this. Every time I want to mimic a real dumbass, a real right wing stupid head, I used to do it all the time, start to sink into a white Southern male accent. And then I started thinking, wait a second, you are a white Southern male, Malloy. So I try not to do that anymore. But it's a real stereotypical thing, you know, just because somebody has that real country Southern accent, a lot of folks around the country just go, oh, well, you know, must wear a hood, must be a member of the KKK. Must drive a pickup. Well, yeah, I do drive a pickup truck, but must be a militia member, which is not really all that bad of an idea now. Hey, stay with us. All sorts of fun and frivolity coming up. Going to talk to you about Prescott Bush. Now it's in mainstream media. A Nazi financier.
In high places. They've stolen our country and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
young Americans don't know much about geography, but the tools that could help them learn are getting better all the time. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. A recent survey sponsored by National Geographic found a lot of ignorance about the layout of the world among 18 to 24-year-old Americans. For example, 30% of them could not locate the Pacific Ocean on a map. Bill Stair is the former president of National Geographic Maps.
11% of young citizens of the United States can't even locate the United States on a map. More young people in the United States know where the island featured in last season's TV show Survivor, where it's located, than can find Israel on a map. And, you know, to understand what's going on in the world, we have to know something about it.
Sweden, Germany, and Italy scored highest among those surveyed. Stair says those countries place more emphasis on travel and the study of language and geography. But he says Americans have plenty of opportunity to learn about the world because the tools to do so are getting better all the time. Information and images collected from satellites make it possible to add detail to maps like never before. Stair says a lot of that information is readily available, both on the Internet and in books. For example, he says the new edition of the National Geographic World Atlas for Young Explorers includes up-to-date satellite imagery designed to catch the eye of even today's most video-dependent kids. Stair says parents need to get these kinds of brightly illustrated books into their homes. He says they should leave them out in plain view, maybe next to the TV remote control, where their children can easily pick them up and browse. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
The flying monkey ride blues. Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. We ought to have an Uncle Mike story corner a little bit later on the program tonight because, boy, there's a hell of a story out of Fort Stewart, Georgia. A couple of people have sent it to me. Man. Email here from Diana, one of our regular correspondents in Florida. Mike, my emotions just took a roller coaster ride. I don't watch TV much, but I do turn it on during dinner. Tonight I was treated to moments of, let's call it, the proud and the profane. First, a wonderful "the emperor has no clothes" type speech by Senator Robert Byrd on C-SPAN. He closed by reading the famous quote by Goering about how the people can be led into war by frightening them and denouncing the pacifists as unpatriotic. It brought me nearly to tears to have someone speak those words on the Senate floor. I do have a voice in my government, even if he is the lone voice in the wilderness. Senator Byrd was followed by Republican Senator Ted Stevens, whose opposing speech was so intellectually bankrupt and disingenuous that I had to flip the channel. And what did I stumble onto? A promo for the upcoming NBC TV movie about the rescue of Jessica Lynch. I wanted to puke. They're going to milk this for all it's worth, despite the fact that the story, as they are telling it, is a lie. What a juxtaposition to Byrd's speech, where the words prevarication and propaganda were heard over and over. The sickening part is, of course, that the sheeple will be watching and wallowing in NBC. not C-SPAN. Yeah, it's, yeah. I hear you. What else we have here? I'll tell you what, we have this. Pete's calling from Lakeland, Florida. Hey, Pete.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing fine, sir.
I got to cover a few things that you, you just touched on one.
Okay.
Hey, the U.S. Olympic team?
Mm-hmm.
John Ashcroft?
Yeah.
John Walters, the drug czar?
Yeah.
We got to lock them all up, too, with Rush. I mean, it'll look great. The whole U.S. Rush, the whole U.S. Olympic team in the poke for drugs.
Well, only the track and field division.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Maybe a white guy will win the 100. You know, that's what Rush is thinking right now. Now it's going to be one of them white Russians, you know?
Oh, God. Isn't that? I mean, it's just, it's crazy. It's just crazy. How often does this story have to be told, Pete, about professional or way up there amateur athletes using drugs? How often does this story have to be told? Over and over and over. And then a new crop of athletes come up. Well, they'll never catch me. Give me some of those steroids. You know, how often does this story have to be told?
And the funny thing is, you know, Tommy Chong's in the clink right now.
Yeah, thinking, for selling bongs.
Selling glass. I mean, that's unbelievable.
I know. This is Bush and Ashcroft's America.
But
Limbaugh's America, too.
Oh, and without a doubt. We got to get back to that. But I'll tell you, the most troubling thing that I've seen, and nobody's picked up on it, is the FBI is investigating the mayor. And they say Philadelphia.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
They bug his office, okay?
Yeah.
Now, it's a few weeks before an election.
Mm-hmm.
A little pale. I can understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But where the hell are they on Halliburton with billions of dollars worth of no-bid contracts for an unjust war?
Oh, no. No, Pete, come on, Pete. This is the FBI is a division of the Justice Department, which is run by the Christ-killing and murderous John Ashcroft, who was defeated in his last senatorial election by a dead man. Ashcroft is going to order an investigation of the mayor of Philadelphia, because he happens to be a Democrat, and his opponent happens to be a Republican. But an investigation of Halliburton? Get real.
I know. And the crazy thing about it is yourself and probably a half dozen other liberals out there that may have a radio program of some kind are all going to bring this up. And a lot and the people that you reach are going to start thinking about this.
Mm-hmm.
But you would think that the people that question the White House, you think they'd watch the C-SPAN callers some morning?
Oh.
Just get a clue on what questions to ask.
Yeah, that's true.
And for God's sakes, I mean, that would be a perfect example. I mean, can Mr. Ashcroft justify that? I mean, he couldn't justify Tommy Chong.
Mm-mm.
So nobody asked him about that. So
right.
Now you've got this. And I mean, I just love it. You know, the U.S. Olympic team, you know, sponsored by Coke in the jail for more drugs.
Right.
I mean, it could go on and on.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
And you got Rush right now. He's probably seeing spiders.
Yeah, if he hasn't turned into one.
Well,
or if they haven't seen them, they're all under his first layer of epidermal tissue. They're just crawling all over under his skin.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the side effects, too, that itching.
Oh, yeah.
But you ought to have a contest. Probably the next 6 months.
Yeah.
The next Republican, I mean, you lost Bennett. You know, Newt's, you know, too many wives.
Right. Boinkin, too many public employees.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Right.
Well, you know, he wants to keep that, you know, federal pension coming.
Somebody ought to ask Newt if when he is having sex with a agriculture committee.
Is it on the clock?
Well, no. Does he use a condom?
Yeah.
You know, is he an advocate of safe sex? Did he use a condom? Is he using one now? Because you know he's cheating on this one, too. He cheats on all of his wives.
Well, my guess is you'll see him and Tom DeLay at hedonism or something in Jamaica yet.
Right.
I mean, that's going to be the scandal because I've seen Tom DeLay's aide.
Yeah.
Total knockout, without a doubt. Probably the best-looking woman in all of Texas or wherever she's from.
Really?
And I know Tom DeLay. I mean, a weasel like that... He's going to do whatever it takes.
Yeah,
I mean,
probably so.
And that's a sexist me, though. Hey, you take care.
I hear you, though, loud and clear. Thanks, Pete. Appreciate you checking in. Yeah, well, there's nothing wrong with being a little bit sexist if you're pointing out the obvious. Sometimes you have to delve into that language, right? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Oh, well, no. Mike, Pete's wrong. The reason Tom DeLay hired a really stunningly attractive woman is because she is really good at typing on the computer. And she is a Christian. The fact that God has endowed her with, you know, very good looks means nothing. She has a PhD from Baylor University.
Yeah, right. Vernon is calling from Kansas City, Kansas also. Hey, Vernon.
Well, I want her name.
You what?
I want her name so we can form a support group.
For Tom DeLay's secretary?
No.
For condo.
You see, that's what happens when you... You see, I had a perfect come-in.
Yeah?
I was going to come in right after her,
yeah.
And I was going to ask for her name and her address so we could get together.
Oh, and the caller from Kansas City?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
I don't feel alone now. At least there's one more.
Are you implying there are only two common sense people in all of Kansas City, Kansas?
Well, I know myself. I mean, I don't know about anybody else.
Well, okay.
I'm just teasing.
No, there's probably... That's just like saying that all of us down here in the South that talk like this got to be dumb and got to be Republicans and got to be sheet-wearing, a militia joining, a Confederate flag-waving freaks.
Well, actually, I want to tell you, I lived in Wyandotte County... And Wyandotte County is the sole lone little island of Democrats in the entire state of Republicans.
And where? In Kansas?
In Kansas.
Oh, really? Wyandotte County. Huh?
Wyandotte County. Now, oh. Wyandotte County also happens to be the smallest county in all of Kansas.
There's a connection there.
I don't know. Well, all I know is that take, for instance, Moore.
Yeah?
Moore represents Wyandotte County. I don't mean to give a geography lesson, but Johnson County, the richer side of the state line, also in Kansas, is rich and mainly Republican.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got to be a split personality because if he wants to get elected wearing a Democrat title, he has to appeal to those of us in Wyandotte County.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he's out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Every election, every 2 years, it's a foregone conclusion. He will lose in Johnson County. If he wins at all, he'll have to win in Wyandotte County.
Yeah.
So for 2 years now, for two elections, excuse me, he has won in Wyandotte County. I'm sorry.
Well, what? Well, oh, Vernon from Kansas City. Hi, Vernon. Welcome to the program.
Okay, but that brings me to my point.
Oh!
I know it's a... I'm sorry I bored you.
No, that's okay. Now, your point was...
My point is that Moore brought up before the House a bill to help soldiers in Iraq.
Yeah.
And
the only way to help soldiers in Iraq is to bring them home.
Hey, I agree wholeheartedly with you on that.
But Congressman Moore didn't, I take
it. No, well, Congressman Moore is on the fence. He doesn't know which way Johnson County wants him to go.
Hmm.
So, in other words, Congress looks to aid GI veterans. It's in the paper. And Senator Kit Bond, the Republican on the Missouri side.
Yeah, well, he's just a real dog.
Oh I know.
God.
Hey, you're not talking, but he, too, is looking to give money for those who are in the field. Take, for instance, the story starts out with a woman who loses her husband.
Yeah.
And she is given $6,000 in death gratuity.
Right.
She has to pay income tax on that.
Well, sure.
Half of it will be tax.
Oh, God.
Taxable.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
So Moore steps in and says, "This is not right."
Yeah.
This is not right. She ought not to do that. So he is trying to aid. So is Kit Bond.
Well, I've got, I don't mean to cut you short here, but I've got to move on, Verna. I have a story. I want you to stay tuned because I have a thing coming up, Uncle Mike's Story Corner, that kind of ties in directly to what you just reported to us, okay?
One more point.
Okay, go ahead.
I called Moore's office.
Yeah.
And I suggested that Mr. Moore put up a bill calling for a universal draft.
Yeah.
And the aide on the other side said, but that'll mean that people will oppose our involvement in this war. And I said, exactly. That's my point.
That's the point.
I'll see you, Mike.
Thanks, Vernon.
Sorry I put you asleep.
No problem. You have a nice weekend.
You too.
All right, sir. All right. All right, we'll wait a while to do Uncle Mike's Story Corner, because it's maybe right after the top of the hour coming. Kaz is calling from Painesville, Michigan. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, Kaz. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. I just talked to you a few days ago, and I don't want to be infringing here, but honestly, there's a story going on in Florida right now, and I was on my way home. I don't usually listen to the Christian channel, but I flicked. And this Carrie Schiavel story was on.
Yeah, that's the woman whose feeding tube after 13 years has been removed, who is in an irreversible vegetative state. Yeah.
Mike, I saw pictures on the news yesterday. This woman cries. She smiles. She is not a vegetable. I think this is so doggone dirty. And the thing is, these Christians are all waving their arms and demonstrating, and this is one time that I honestly agree with them. But they can't seem to do anything to get the governor that these Christians elected in Florida to turn over this miserable-ass judge. Oh, there we go. I swore I wasn't going to do it. But I was so damn angry.
Well, I can understand the anger, but Kaz, if I may, are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Let me interject something, and I don't mean to say this as just to be argumentative with you. The medical experts, the doctors, the neurologists, the people who are experts in understanding brain function and comas and what constitutes a vegetative state, have spent 13 years examining this young woman, and part of the horrific, and I mean horrific, reality of people who are in a coma or a vegetative state is that they can appear, as this young woman appears, to be awake. I've seen the video. Her eyes are open. She seems to be smiling. She seems to be responding. But when you look at the brain waves, I don't know if the brain waves are completely flatlined, but medical experts, not Christian fundamentalists, not politicians, but people who understand, people who know how the human brain works, who can look at a brain scan and say it doesn't matter what sort of neurological activity may be going on in this person's arms or legs or face or eyes, this person is dead. She's dead. She no longer exists. That's A. Very quick B. According to her husband, she and he had discussed, if either of them, as Kathy and I have discussed, ever got into this kind of a situation, for Christ's sake, pull the plug. I don't want to be kept in a state like this. Now, according to the medical doctor, she has no way of knowing. There may be some sort of consciousness going on that is way far an echo, although they say no, she is not there. Her body is there. There are herky-jerky motions that we look at and interpret, just like a lot of us look at our dogs and cats and say, hey, you know, Fido's smiling at me. You know, God, that's just not the case. It's what we superimpose. Now, I can understand the grief and the anguish of this young woman's parents. It would be hell for me if she were my daughter. I have daughters her age, almost. It would be hell for me to have a daughter in that state and to look at her and see her eyes open and she's sitting up and she's making sounds and then be told, no, we're going to disconnect her feeding tube and let her die. But again, Kaz, I've got to tell you that the medical community, the doctors, and God knows there have been doctors on both sides who have examined her, I think one or two people have said, well, there's a possibility we can teach her to talk again. There's a possibility that she's not really dead. But that opinion is so in the minority. Okay? I don't mean to, you know, to get weird on you. But those are the facts.
I couldn't. I just couldn't imagine. I realize what you're saying, and I could be overreacting. But then, well, anyways, I think as far as the husband goes, I think he should just divorce her and let her go, just like a new gig to his cancer-ridden wife.
I understand.
And I'd like to bring up one more point.
Okay, let me put you on hold, and I'll come back to you, Kaz, because we got to take a quick break here.
Knock 'em dead. Pack your kit. Choose your hypocrite. You don't have to go to Off-Broadway to see something plain absurd.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Oh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long, itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a block.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this
Sunday
for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a block.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday!
Out by right-wing talk radio, you found a home with Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. Coming up after the top of the hour, we're going to do Uncle Mike's Story Corner. It's a quick one tonight, but it's chilling. But we're talking to Kaz right now in Painesville, Michigan. We were talking about the Terry Schiavo case in Florida, and you said you had another issue, Kaz?
Oh, yeah, to get off at the reason I'm probably so sensitive on this Schiavo case is mm-hmm. because honestly we had to make a decision like that on my dad and it
yeah
and we went by his wishes to say you know don't let you know but it,
sure.
it still haunts me but anyways let's that's there isn't there
no was, I under no I understand don't miss
I, no yeah. I understand Mike I understand I just
I really just, can connect when I saw the videos just like you it's like oh my God is that because that's the first time I've ever seen anyone who appeared that animated who was in a medically defined a vegetative state, essentially brain dead. I had never seen anybody like that either, although it's my understanding that that is not uncommon. So I understand, you know, I had probably the same basic reaction you did when I first saw the video. It was like, what the hell? But then after checking into the story and finding out that that is not an uncommon occurrence, it was just like, okay, this, you know, it is a tragedy. It's a horrific tragedy. But God, I just wish people would stay out of it and let the medical community and the family decide what to do. And I know there's dissension in that family. The husband says, please let her go. The parents say no. So it's just awful. It's just awful. I hear you.
I do agree, Mike. I mean, my mind says one thing, but my heart talks.
Sure.
But that's I can't do anything about it.
Nope.
This point about our buddy George here, I mean, these people are starving for positive PR and mm-hmm. all the good things they're doing in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they own 3/4 of the media. Where are the positive pictures?
Right.
You know, I mean, that's the other point I had. I'm sorry about being emotional about this other deal. But.
Yeah, maybe there aren't any positive pictures.
Yeah.
Maybe there's nothing good over there.
Well, when I own the media, I gotta think there is no positive picture.
Yeah, since the media is totally right-wing, if there was one positive picture, it would probably be splashed over every network and every newspaper.
Jessica Lynch.
Yeah, there you go. Kaz, thanks for checking
you bet,
it out.
You bet, Mike. Thank you.
All right, sir. I appreciate your comments and your call. That's a tough issue, that situation in Florida. It's ugly. Just ugly. All right, quick break. We'll be back. Uncle Mike's Story Corner coming up. We'll talk with our L.A. correspondent first as soon as we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. The Senate defied President Bush on Thursday and voted to convert half of his $20.3 billion Iraqi rebuilding plan into a loan, dealing the White House an embarrassing foreign policy setback. Despite an administration lobbying blitz that in recent days involved virtually every top administration official, the Republican-run chamber voted 51-47 for a bipartisan proposal making $10 billion of the aid alone. Its approval by the Senate marked the first congressional vote in opposition to Bush's policies in Iraq. It was also the latest of several setbacks that Congress has dealt him in recent months on issues including concentration of media ownership, new rules on overtime pay, and travel to Cuba. The U.S. government has launched a good news offensive in Iraq, using as props Two Boys Commerce Secretary Don Evans spotted by the road selling soft drinks to Baghdad's parched drivers. Evans said thousands of new businesses have sprung up here since the war, pointing out the Two Boys selling soda pop, but apparently ignoring the man who runs the Bank of Baghdad, Muwaffaq Mahmoud, who said unhappily, no one is applying for credit. Some people are having a hard time believing media caught between Iraq and a hard place in this American war zone, between the Bush administration that wants only to report a positive spin, and news media's own duty to report the facts. American soldiers in Iraq have made heavy use of phones there to reach out and touch families back home. Some military families complain those calls have virtually stopped because of a huge increase in phone charges. The guys are very upset over there, said Edith Beach of Kirksville, Missouri. My husband said morale stinks. Sergeant First Class David Beach survived an ambush in which one of his comrades was wounded. He and his wife last spoke Monday night. He and his comrades are now paying AT&T up to $2 a minute to call home. Prime Minister John Howard brushed aside charges he was a puppet of the United States after U.S. President George W. Bush called the Canberra government Washington's sheriff in Asia. Can I make it very clear? I don't see this country as being a sheriff, a deputy sheriff, as having any kind of enforcement role in our region, Howard said in a radio interview when asked about Bush's remark. More news after this.
Hi, my name's Maria, and I'm alive today because I was given CPR last year by Rick.
Rick, who took a class with the Red Cross after I received blood from Jamal, who gave blood
after being encouraged by my friend Angela,
who helped Jamal's whole family get the help and support they needed after losing their home to a fire.
When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. By getting involved with the Red Cross, you never know how many people your actions will affect. To get involved, visit redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together, we can save a life.
A supermarket rat that had dodged a number of poison traps got its comeuppance when an 80-year-old shopper knocked it unconscious after it tried to steal her cheese, a Belgian daily said Thursday. The rat had been hiding in the supermarket for a month, but staff attempts to trap the rodent had repeatedly failed. The woman reportedly felt a sharp pain, noticed the rat hanging from her finger, and slammed it to the floor. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
You don't want to miss the first pitch of the playoffs for the second year in a row, so you're probably scrambling for dinner. Hey, think fast. Think eggs, like an omelet with mushrooms, cheese, and tomatoes, or anything else you like. Omelets are delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes, so you get to the game on time, see the first pitch, your team sweeps the playoffs, and goes on to win the championship. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
Fat. Americans are fat. Our children are fat. Our pets are fat. We've become a nation of unhealthy chubbos, thanks largely to the fact that we snarf down too much of too many overfatty foods. In the face of this growing health problem, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association has come out with just what the doctor didn't order. Cheeseburger fries. Yes, strips of deep-fried cheeseburgers. Instead of something lean and light to meet America's nutritional needs, the big beef purveyors have concocted a fat-soaked, calorie-laden new snack item guaranteed to add to our total tonnage. Shaped like oversized French fries, this plump delicacy is made by mushing ground beef and cheese nuggets together, then breading the mixture and plunging the strips into the deep fryer. Just one of these sticks of nutritional dynamite contains about 75 calories and up to 6 grams of fat. But no one eats just one. They generally come five to an order. So in one quick setting, you can pump a greasy 375 calories and 30 grams of fat into your bod. Now, I'm certainly no dainty prig of an eater. I grew up eating corn dogs and Frito pies. I just recently enjoyed a batch of deep-fried cheese curds in Minnesota, and nachos with refried beans and cheese are a way of life for me. But there's already plenty of tasty fat in our lives without larding in an extra fatty finger snack. Especially galling is the intention of the beef boys to force their corpulent creation on our children. They're now trying to market cheeseburger fries to public school cafeterias, peddling a version that contains the most fat of all. This is Jim Hightower saying, but kids' nutrition be damned. There's beef to be sold. This is about raw profiteering. As the Beef Association says, we want beef in dessert if we can get it in there. Oh, goody, cheeseburger ice cream coming up next.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. Seven past the hour. We're going to talk to our L.A. correspondent here, and then we're going to do Uncle Mike's Story Corner, and then this Nazi story, Nazi Prescott Bush story, George Bush's grandpappy, that is being reported by the Associated Press now. I first saw the story. Somebody sent me a link to a discussion thread at Democratic Underground, and that's where I saw the story, and I'm going to share it with you in a moment. But first, Robert, our L.A. correspondent. Hey, Robert, how you doing?
Well, greetings from Southern California, the place where if you want to come out here, you need a bowling ball because you certainly get a strike. And, hey, and down here, unlike Madonna, we don't strike a pose. We just simply strike.
There you go. There you go.
I just had to get that out. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. My man RuPaul needs to come out there and raise a little hell. That's what needs to happen. You're familiar with RuPaul, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Well, you know, he started right here in Atlanta back when he was, how old was he, Kathy? About 17. I was doing a little cable TV show with Julian Bond's brother, James Bond. It was called The American Music Show. It was James Bond, Dick Richards, Teddy Rubenstein, who else? Pam Perry, a bunch of people. And we did this little program. I got to tell you this. We did this little program from James Bond's mother's basement.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And what we would do is videotape the show and then take it to the public access channel here. And they would play it every Wednesday night. Well, the program developed a real cult following. It was just a freaky kind of Fernwood Tonight on acid or something. So we would get fan mail occasionally. We'd get two or three letters a month, you know.
You're probably that show will probably be famous on HBO.
Yeah, really.
Very famous.
One day
you got that dude Ali G on there. Certainly Mike Malloy and a little freaky moments in Atlanta.
Yeah, right.
And RuPaul.
Anyway, let me tell you about RuPaul. So we get this letter one time from this kid who says, I've been watching your show. I think it's really great. I'd like to come and audition. Signed, RuPaul. So the kid shows up, tall, skinny teenager. But I think he was about 17 the first time I met him. And And so James said to him, what do you do? What's your act? And he said, well, I do, you know, I do characters. I do impersonations. And he was just the most bubbly, enthusiastic kid I had ever met for a long time. I mean, just, and you could tell that this boy, and he was a boy at the time, had whatever that quality is that, that makes somebody a star. You understand? So he was on the American Music Show for probably a year or two, and he started developing all these kind of acts. And he shot a couple of video movies around Atlanta with his crew and his friends and his posse and everybody. That's what he called them. Next thing we knew, he left and moved to New York, and the rest is history. So RuPaul...
The dress. Is history.
Yeah, the dress is history. But he's one of the nicest guys I've ever met. Yes, he's America's number one drag queen now, but he is one of the nicest young men I have ever met in my life. And,
oh, yeah. You know, he's, you know, I really haven't gotten too much about on him except for when he
I'll tell you what. You want to see something that'll blow your mind? Go to RuPaul.com.
Right.
Just check it out. Check it out. Now, that's not why you called. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Stomped all over your phone call, didn't
it? It's all good. You know, hey, RuPaul, ain't nothing like talking about RuPaul on the Mike Malloy show.
That's right. That's so right.
Yeah. Anyway, let's check this out. This scenario here.
Mm-hmm.
We have a Republican president.
Yeah.
And history says that Republican presidents, except for Reagan, the old Gipper, the old crazy Gipper, did not do well in the electorate
of California. Right. That's right. That's right.
But now you have Mr. Bush.
Yeah.
Three times.
Yeah.
He's been here three times in 1 year.
Yeah.
Three times in 1 year. Now, that seems a little bit strange. You know, and naturally he went to the hookup with Arnold, Mr. Gorpinator himself, and
yes,
kind of had like a little private meeting.
Yes.
Kinda, you know.
Yes, they did.
You know, and I'll try to hook it up for you, Mr. Bush.
Yeah.
You know, and, yeah, I'll try to get this little Enron. You know, probably have a little issue about Enron.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, it's interesting because I was on Buzzflash last night, and they were talking. You know, actually, I didn't read the article, but. They had a link to the San Jose Mercury News, if you're familiar with it.
Oh, yeah. Great paper.
Yeah. You know, they had, had a little, one of the columnists mentioned that this could be a potential of maybe doing the same snivelly, sneaky, undermining crap that he did up in Texas and redistricting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Well, I don't think, it's not going to happen in California.
Yeah, well,
no, it's not going to happen because don't forget that your entire legislature, and all the committees, everything is controlled by Democrats.
Right.
The entire state bureaucracy, controlled by Democrats. All the divisions of state government, controlled by Democrats. Now, if Schwarzenegger has an idea about or any of these phony-ass Republicans in the state of California have any idea about redistricting, they ought to let that idea go right now. Because that's not
going to happen. You know, hey, but we have to keep an eye on them.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, and real quickly, I sent you something about a few minutes ago. It's regarding an interview with Bill Graham's daughter regarding what happened, why did God fail us during the 9/11 attacks. And I hope, if you don't read it on the air tonight, I hope you'll read it on Monday.
All right.
All right, thanks a lot, Mike. Have a good one.
All right, Robert, you too. Thanks for checking in, pal. Do we have time? I guess we do. Uncle Mike's Story Corner. Gather around, kiddies. Got your jammies on, except for you people on the West Coast, where it's still middle of the afternoon. Pull up a comfortable little rug and your favorite teddy bear. It's time for Uncle Mike's Story Corner. This time comes from Fort Stewart, Georgia. Written by Mark Benjamin, who is the investigations editor for the UPI, it says here. Hundreds of sick and wounded U.S. soldiers, including many who served in the Iraq War, are languishing in hot cement barracks here while they wait, sometimes for months, to see doctors. The National Guard and Army Reserve soldiers' living conditions are so substandard and the medical care so poor that many of them believe the Army is trying to push them out with reduced benefits for their ailments. One document shown to UPI states that no more doctor appointments are available from October 14th through November 11th, which just happens to be Veterans Day. Sergeant First Class Willie Buckles, a truck master with the 296th Transportation Company, said, quote, I have loved the Army, I have served the Army faithfully, and I have done everything the Army has asked me to do. He goes on to say, Now my whole idea about the U.S. Army has changed. I am treated like a third-class citizen. Buckles served in the Army Reserve for 27 years, including Operation Iraqi Freedom and the First Gulf War. Since getting back from Iraq in May, Buckles, who is 52, has been trying to get doctors to find out why he has intense pain in the side of his abdomen since doubling over in pain in Iraq. After waiting since May for a diagnosis, Buckles has accepted 20% of his benefits for bad knees and is going home to his family in Mississippi. Buckles said, quote, "They have not found out what my side is doing yet, but they are still trying," end quote. So 1 month after Bush greeted soldiers at Fort Stewart, home of the famed 3rd Infantry Division, 1 month after Bush greeted these soldiers as heroes on the return from Iraq, approximately 600 sick or injured members of the Army Reserve and National Guard are warehoused in rows of spare, steamy, and dark cement barracks in a sandy field waiting for doctors to treat their wounds or illnesses. The Reserve and National Guard soldiers are on what the Army calls medical hold, while the Army decides how sick or disabled they are and what benefits, if any, they should get as a result. Some of the soldiers said they have waited 6 hours a day for an appointment without seeing a doctor. Others described weeks or months without getting a diagnosis or proper treatment. The soldiers said professional active duty personnel are getting better treatment, while troops who serve in the National Guard or Army Reserve are left to wallow in medical hold. One soldier who served in Operation Iraqi Freedom, during which she developed a serious heart condition and a strange skin ailment, said, "This is not an army of one. It is the army of two. The army and the reserves." A half dozen calls by UPI seeking comment from Fort Stewart public affairs officials and U.S. Forces Command in Atlanta were not returned. Soldiers here estimate that nearly half of the personnel now in medical hold were deployed to Iraq. Of those who went, many described clusters of strange ailments like heart and lung problems among previously healthy troops. They said the Army has tried to refuse them benefits, claiming the injuries and illnesses were due to a pre-existing condition prior to military service. Oh, yeah. Most soldiers in medical hold at Fort Stewart stay in rows of rectangular, gray, single-story cinder block barracks without bathrooms or air conditioning. They are dark and sweltering in the southern Georgia heat and humidity. Around 60 soldiers cram in the bunk beds in each barrack. Soldiers make their way by walking or using crutches through the sandy dirt to a communal bathroom where they have propped office partitions between otherwise open toilets for privacy. A row of leaky sinks sits on an opposite wall. The latrine smells of urine and is full of bugs because many windows have no screens. Showering is in a communal cinder block room. Soldiers say they have to buy their own toilet paper. They said the conditions are fine for training, but not for sick people. One Army Reserve member who went to Iraq and asked that his name not be used said, "I think it's disgusting." That soldier said that after being deployed in March, he suffered a sudden onset of neurological symptoms in Baghdad that have gotten steadily worse. He shakes uncontrollably. He said the Army has told him he has Parkinson's disease, and it was a pre-existing condition. But he thinks it was something in the anthrax shots the Army gave him. He said, "They say I have Parkinson's, but it is developing too rapidly. I did not have a problem until I got those shots." First Sergeant Jerry Mosley crossed into Iraq from Kuwait on March 19th with the 296th Transportation Company, hauling fuel while under fire from the Iraqis as they traveled north alongside combat vehicles. Mosley said he was healthy before the war. He could run 2 miles in 17 minutes. He's 48. But he developed a series of symptoms: lung problems, shortness of breath, vertigo, migraines. He also thinks the anthrax vaccine may have hurt him. Mosley also has a torn shoulder from an injury in Iraq. Mosley says he has never been depressed before, but found himself looking at shotguns recently and thinking about suicide. Mosley is paying $300 a month to get better housing than the cinderblock barracks. He has a notice from the base that appears to show that no more doctor appointments are available for reservists until November 11th. He said he has never been treated like this in his 30 years in the Army Reserve. Mosley said, "Now, I would not go to war for the Army." Many soldiers in the hot barracks said regular Army soldiers get to see doctors, while National Guard and Reserve troops, they wait. In an October 9th speech to National Guard and Reserve troops in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, Bush said the soldiers had become part of the backbone of the military. Bush said, "Citizen soldiers are serving in every front on the war on terror, and you're making your state and your country proud."
When this war's over, I go back to Georgia and settle down quiet somewhere.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Fat. Americans are fat. Our children are fat. Our pets are fat. We've become a nation of unhealthy chubbos, thanks largely to the fact that we snarf down too much of too many overfatty foods. In the face of this growing health problem, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association has come out with just what the doctor didn't order. Cheeseburger fries. Yes, strips of deep-fried cheeseburgers. Instead of something lean and light to meet America's nutritional needs, the big beef purveyors have concocted a fat-soaked, calorie-laden new snack item guaranteed to add to our total tonnage. Shaped like oversized French fries, this plump delicacy is made by mushing ground beef and cheese nuggets together, then breading the mixture and plunging the strips into the deep fryer. Just one of these sticks of nutritional dynamite contains about 75 calories and up to 6 grams of fat. But no one eats just one. They generally come 5 to an order. So in one quick setting, you can pump a greasy 375 calories and 30 grams of fat into your bod. Now, I'm certainly no dainty prig of an eater. I grew up eating corn dogs and Frito pies. I just recently enjoyed a batch of deep-fried cheese curds in Minnesota. And nachos with refried beans and cheese are a way of life for me. But there's already plenty of tasty fat in our lives without larding in an extra fatty finger snack. Especially galling is the intention of the beef boys to force their corpulent creation on our children. They're now trying to market cheeseburger fries to public school cafeterias, peddling a version that contains the most fat of all. This is Jim Hightower saying, "But kids' nutrition be damned. There's beef to be sold." This is about raw profiteering. As the Beef Association says, we want beef and dessert if we can get it in there. Oh, goody, cheeseburger ice cream coming up next.
Hey, conservatives, here comes your worst nightmare. It's Mike Malloy.
Uncle Mike ran out of time. All right, we're still in the story corner. Bring the music back up again. Let's reset the mood here just a little bit, Kathy. Yeah, there we go. Army Reserve and National Guardsmen and women in Fort Stewart, Georgia, being forced into situations as they await medical help that border on criminal. I mean, come on. But this is the way the Bush crime family treats our soldiers. One of the troops said, the active duty guys that are coming in, they get treated first, but they put us on hold. This soldier returned from Iraq 6 weeks ago with a serious back injury. He's gotten to see a doctor only 2 times since he got back, he said. Another Army reservist with the 149th Infantry Battalion said he has had real trouble seeing doctors about his crushed foot, an injury he suffered in Iraq. The soldier says, quote, there are not enough doctors. They're overcrowded, and they can't perform the surgeries that have to be done. Look at these mattresses. It hurts just to sit on them. There are people here who got back in April, but did not get their surgeries until July. It is putting a lot on the families of these soldiers. And by the way, the Pentagon, even as we speak, is drawing up plans to call up more reserves and National Guard people. God, what an awful story. I, especially when you consider the money that I guess the Senate approved the package, and of course the House that is run by screaming lunatics, they approved it week 10 days ago. This $87 billion for Bush's war, and $20 billion of it is to reconstruct Iraq, all sorts of things, hospitals, schools, rebuilding fire departments, the oil infrastructure, of course, so that Bush's crime family can extract the oil. And our people who are coming back from Iraq are being treated like this. I don't understand, and I mean this, how anybody who is serving or who has ever served in any branch of the U.S. military could support the Bush crime family. New study from about the benefits of prayer. Have you heard about this? There was a study some time ago. They used 150 patients, and they came to a conclusion that prayer assistance in the healing process, or the survivability of people facing a major surgery. Well, guess what? Duke University Medical Center in North Carolina has conducted another study involving 750 patients. It was called the MANTRA study. It's the world's largest study into the effects of prayer on patients undergoing heart surgery. The study found prayer makes no difference. Before their operations, the people involved in the study were split into two groups randomly, and half were prayed for by Christians, Jews, Buddhists, and Muslims. However, checks revealed they had fared no better than those not prayed for. The results of this study contradict the earlier findings from the same team, same researchers, which suggested a drop of about 25% in so-called adverse outcomes, including death, heart failure, or heart attack. The study is the subject of a BBC documentary to be broadcast next week. I wonder why NBC or CBS or ABC or CNN or MSNBC or Fox doesn't broadcast this documentary. Huh? Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Mind. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Science, magic, technology. Slaves in High Places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Young Americans don't know much about geography, but the tools that could help them learn are getting better all the time. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. A recent survey sponsored by National Geographic found a lot of ignorance about the layout of the world among 18 to 24-year-old Americans. For example, 30% of them could not locate the Pacific Ocean on a map. Bill Stair is the former president of National Geographic Maps.
11% of young citizens of the United States can't even locate the United States on a map. More young people in the United States know where the island featured in last season's TV show Survivor, where it's located, than can find Israel on a map. And, you know, to understand what's going on in the world, we have to know something about it.
Sweden, Germany, and Italy scored highest among those surveyed. Stair says those countries place more emphasis on travel and the study of language and geography. But he says Americans have plenty of opportunity to learn about the world because the tools to do so are getting better all the time. Information and images collected from satellites make it possible to add detail to maps like never before. Stair says a lot of that information is readily available, both on the Internet and in books. For example, he says the new edition of the National Geographic World Atlas for Young Explorers includes up-to-date satellite imagery designed to catch the eye of even today's most video-dependent kids. Stair says parents need to get these kinds of brightly illustrated books into their homes. He says they should leave them out in plain view, maybe next to the TV remote control, where their children can easily pick them up and browse. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Flying Monkey Free Zone. Here's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour, this study that was conducted by Duke University Medical Center fascinates me. 750 people were involved in the study. They were the subjects. They were divided into two random groups. Nobody knew, the hospital staff, the patients, their relatives, and no one knew which patients were going to be receiving prayer, obviously to prevent any chance of the results being skewed. But the result is prayer does nothing. Prayer teams from various denominations, it says here, and various faiths were alerted by email to start intercessory prayer as soon as possible after the patient was enrolled in the trial. After the patients had undergone an angioplasty procedure, they were followed for 6 months to see how they progressed. And the results, there was no difference between people prayed for and people not prayed for. Now, theologists are saying that even if you believe in the power of intercessory prayer, such a trial like this is doomed to failure because, according to the Bishop of Durham, the Catholic Bishop of Durham, North Carolina, the Right Reverend Tom Wright, he says, well, it's going to fail because, you know, you don't put God to the test. Prayer is not a penny in the slot machine. You can't just put in a coin and get out a chocolate bar. This is like setting an exam for God to see if God will pass it or not. So the BBC is going to, on their Everyman, it's the subject of the BBC Everyman, that's the title of it, documentary, is going to be broadcast next week. I doubt seriously if we'll see it in this country. What do you think, Truth Seeker? No, I don't think so. As you know, I've had if you listen to this program, I've had a real a real collapse of so-called faith. I'm just at that point where I guess I'm questioning everything again. Jesus, I went through this when I was in my 20s. Went through it again when I was in my late 30s. Here we go again. Now, regarding that story. And by the way, it was posted at my website, MikeMalloy.com, by our Broken Arrow, Oklahoma Bureau Chief, Nelson, who's also one of the moderators. One of our posters there, a guy who uses the name Liberal Media Conspiracy, he posted the following right below the story. He says, I say there are little green men who dance on the ceiling. And it is they who control our lives and the universe around us. But if you try to look at them, they disappear. Because, you know, you're just supposed to have faith in them. Now, if I really believed this, Liberal Media Conspiracy writes, people would think I was mad. But is it any less mad to say, God answers prayers? But if you try to verify this, then he won't answer prayers because you're not supposed to put him to the test. Christians, Liberal Media Conspiracy writes, love to prattle on about how God is merciful and just on and on. But when you point out some of the really horrific things that happen on God's watch, the stock answer is God works in mysterious ways, which we can't understand. Madness. Orwell called this doublethink. I'll take reason, Liberal Media Conspiracy writes. Thank you very much. Thank God I'm agnostic. I just like the way he signed off. Thank God I'm agnostic. No health benefit from prayer. I don't know. Just reporting on the study. Okay. The Associated Press is reporting the following. Interesting, this comes out on Friday evening. The headline is Bush's Ancestors Bank Seized by Government. Ancestor? It's his grandfather, for God's sake. I'm a grandfather. I wonder if my little grandson Jake would refer to me as one of his ancestors. I don't think so. Even when they report the story, see, they have to be very careful, right? The story is what you and I have talked about, what we know. I've had a few people over the past year and a half email me and say, well, where in the hell do you find in that? That's not true. That ain't true. Well, yeah, it is. So now it's slid into the mainstream media. Bush's grandfather was a director of a bank that was seized by the U.S. federal government because of its ties to a German industrialist and its help in bankrolling Adolf Hitler's rise to power. Now, this comes from government documents, our own government documents that were recently released from the National Archives, recently declassified. Prescott Bush was one of the directors of Union Banking Corporation, a New York investment bank owned by a bank controlled by the Thyssen family. Fritz Thyssen was an early financial supporter of Hitler, whose Nazi party Thyssen believed was preferable to communism. Hello? Reports, the AP says, of Bush's involvement with the seized bank have been circulating on the Internet for years and have been reported by some mainstream media. The newly declassified documents provide additional details.
Trent Duffy, a spokesman for President Bush, declined to comment. We're not going to say anything.
Union Banking, of which Prescott Bush was a director, was seized by the U.S. government in October 1942 under the Trading with the Enemy Act. No charges were brought against Union Banking's American directors, which included Prescott Bush. The federal government, according to Daniel Goldstein, a professor of public and international affairs at the University of Pittsburgh, the federal government, Professor Goldstein says, was too busy trying to fight a war. Goldstein says, we did not have the resources to do those things then. Now, on Democratic Underground, Seventh Son posted a comment about this story. Seventh Son says, this was published in the Federal Register in 1942. This was news in the Boston Globe last year. This was news in the New York Post last year. John Loftus wrote about it in his 1994 book, The Secret War. Prescott Bush was the director of this Nazi bank seized by the federal government in violation of the Trading with the Enemy Act in a time of war. This bank financed the Nazi military machine which killed U.S. soldiers. Michael Moore is including this in his new book. Kitty Kelly is writing about it in her new Bush book. Three of the directors of this bank were Skull and Bones members. Another was a Yaley. The other three directors were Nazis. The Bush family received over $1 million after the Holocaust for their investments in it. And yet the AP is just writing about this now? And why, Seventh Son writes, is this not treason? And why do people seem to not care if President Bush's financial fortune came from the Nazis and the Bin Ladens? Well, I certainly can't answer all those questions, Seventh Son, but it is interesting, is it not, that so-called mainstream press is now reporting. Although I don't know what you call the Boston Globe. Isn't that mainstream press? New York Post, isn't that mainstream press? But here it is on the AP wire, as though the AP just discovered it this evening. And this was put on their wire about 3 hours ago. Well, it is Friday evening, and Too Stupid to Be President is in, where is he tonight, Kathy? Is he in Japan? Is he in Malaysia? Is he in Singapore? Is he in Japan? I wonder if he'll do a Pappy Bush and puke all over his guests. Remember that? Right after Pappy Bush left office, he got paid, what, $10 million, $100 million, trillion, quadrillion, quintillion amount of dollars to go over in Japan and have dinner and throw up on his hosts. Have I mentioned tonight how much I hate these people? What time is it? 42 minutes past the second hour of our program, and I'm just getting around to it. I really hate these people. I think Ted knows about this story, too. Ted's calling from Portland. Hey, Ted.
Wow, I have a lot to say about this one.
I'll bet you do.
Well, one thing is the $1.5 million that Prescott Bush collected in 1951, we have to remember that you have to trend that for inflation. And mm-hmm. I've done that, and there's a calculator on the Internet, and it comes out to over $11 million.
Yeah, well.
So we have to remember it's $11 million in today's money. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I've been beating the drums about this for about 4 years, and it feels like a breakthrough now to finally have this in the AP because...
But it's going to crash and burn, don't you think? This is Friday night. What's going to happen on CNN Saturday morning? One of those brain-dead baby dolls that report the news is going to give this two sentences and move on to really important stuff like Kobe Bryant's trial?
Well, I think it's a step. Because we did have it in the Boston Globe. We did have it in Slate. It did make some other places. And this guy Buchanan, he's really pushing it. Mm-hmm. I wrote him. I think I sent you an email from him.
I think you did.
Yeah. And he's really mounting some things. I don't really know him yet. But, you know, with the group I work with, we've talked about it a lot and what we could do about it to get it to break through. And he's doing some things we actually had thought of. But
But, Ted, if I may put on my coat of heavy cynicism, this will mean nothing. This will mean it will mean nothing. Nothing.
I think there's something, though, going on here. And it's that, and, you know, it's really hard. You always second guessing, and it's easy to get carried away and imagining.
Right.
And sometimes I do it.
Right.
I have to pull myself back and pull myself out of conspiracy land. But I think the Bushes have really PO'd some powerful people, some people in the intelligence community with this, what they did with the CIA and the leaks. And I think the one glimmer of hope we have, despite voting fraud and everything, is that their dirty laundry is going to be leaked out, is what I'm predicting.
Okay, I completely agree with that. And
yeah.
And
they aren't going to let these things drop. I mean, they're sort of, they put themselves at odds with the wrong people, people they've used through the years, and they've screwed themselves up, I think, real bad.
Well, our Boston bureau chief reported to us months ago. His father was a CIA. He said that on this program. So
oh,
I
Matt
can say,
Combe, yeah.
Yeah, Matt had mentioned several times that his father stays in touch with the intelligence community, and they were just absolutely livid about about the lies being told to get us into war. Now, I haven't spoken with Matt since the details came out that the Bush crime family dumped on a CIA deep cover person who was operating without protection. So I don't disagree with you. The intelligence community is striking back. And there are also, let's be honest here, there are some members of the intelligence community who are bigger Nazis than the Bush family.
Oh, you know, there are factions, and
right.
There definitely is a faction of the Iran-Contra whole,
absolutely.
Danny Casolaro called the Octopus.
But who's
been under the control of the Bush crime family? But there are a lot of them that aren't.
But who cares in the American public? You know what we care about. We care about Kobe Bryant. We care about Arnold Schwarzenegger. Nobody is going to pay
a bit of
attention to this.
That's really a frustration. And, you know, I think it's something in our culture, and it's just it does. I mean, it's even in my day-to-day interactions. You know, you can extrapolate it from people you rub shoulders with all the way to their reaction to the news media and to things that should be shocking them.
Well, you know, I think it's something more sinister than that. Let me tell you what it is. I've said before, you only have to go about an inch below the surface of U.S. society before you hit a bedrock of Nazism or fascism.
Okay.
This country can go fascist when the right group takes over, and the Bush crime family may be the right group. This country can go fascist very easily. Now, I've said before, it's easy for white middle-class people to live under fascism. Look at the German middle class until everything went to hell. Look at the Italian middle class until everything went to hell. Look at the Spanish middle class until everything went to hell. There's another even darker, nastier, filthier aspect of all this. When you scratch into American fascism, and it's, like I said, it's not that deep. You come back with this. Well, what was it that Hitler did that was so bad? He attacked the Russians. Okay, so he was responsible for the deaths of 6, 7, 8 million Jews. Well, you know, they're Jews. He was responsible for the deaths of homosexuals and people with handicaps. Well, you know, they're homosexuals. He killed a bunch of gypsies. You know, they're gypsies. So what's the big deal? You know, the Jews have their little country now, so who cares? It's that attitude, Ted, that exists in this country.
Oh,
let's
I know.
Let's
I
be
know.
Real.
It's the indifference.
That's that's one of the reasons that Joe
right.
Lieberman
every
has
man for himself. You know, if it doesn't
right,
it's not my problem. I don't want to deal
but
with. Oh yeah, I mean we deal with that all the
but
time.
But it's
I
worse
mean,
than that. It's worse
do
than
we
that.
Know really come through.
I know.
In our life.
I know, but it's worse than that because the racism, the anti-Semitism, the
right.
homophobia in this country is rampant. That's one of the reasons. Set aside his politics, Joe Lieberman could be a screaming left-wing liberal. He will never be elected because he's an Orthodox Jew. Period. End of story. That's the way it is in America 2003.
Right. Well, you know, I still hold out hope that, you know, not just the Nazi story, but other things about the Bush crime family are going to be leaked out, and there's going to be just a snowball effect. That's what I'm holding on to right now, because I know that if I look at all the other factors, I don't really have a lot of hope. But something tells me that there are key elements of the establishment now that are not going to let him return to office.
Well, keep the faith.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to say is, you know, they're going to, I can just hear the response about, oh, why should you lay the sins of the father or the grandfather at the son?
Right.
But I mean, one thing is that the Holocaust survivors and victims deserve that the truth be known, and that the Bushes have run on this phony patriotic image. And
we're great supporters of Israel.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, a decent, good family. And, you know, now the Kennedys were outed. Joe Kennedy was outed. And, you know, people like RFK, they define themselves. They became their own men. George W. hasn't done that.
He's done nothing.
This pattern has continued. And don't forget the 1988 scandal with the old Nazis and the Bush 88 campaign.
Right, that's absolutely
true. And, you know, it's the partnering with Noriega, Hussein, Iraqgate, Iran-Contra. I mean, this family is going to keep conning us and doing it until we pull them out and say, hey, Pappy, you're a bastard. You're an evil bastard, you know? Cut the crap.
I hear you. Hey, Ted, got a boogie.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your call.
And we'll never rest again until every Nazi dies.
Irritating it can be, which is
why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant Maximum Strength Mylanta liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try Maximum Strength Mylanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you're ready to buy a home, work with someone who'll work with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good. You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween. Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood. And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Hey, look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
Did you pick up your phone book the other day and almost get a hernia because of all the lawyer ads? Do you panic when you turn on the television and there is another lawyer encouraging you to call him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to find out who you can sue and what your rights are? Well, you don't need that anymore. But you know, you don't get your surgeon out of the yellow pages, and you don't need a retainer fee to listen to me. The Legal Huddle is your one-stop radio shop for everything you would ever want to know about the American legal system. I'm Ed Zelenak. I've been a prosecutor, bandleader, foreign diplomat, and advisor to presidential candidates. And as your host of the Legal Huddle, I'm uniquely qualified to answer everything you ever wanted to know about the law but were afraid to ask. And you know, if I don't know the answer, I'll make one up. You can call me with your questions, your comments, your opinions, and your feelings about our judiciary. And you know something? I will never hold you in contempt of court in the Legal Huddle. So join me and a cast of thousands here in the Legal Huddle, Sunday mornings, 9 until 11, on the IE America Radio Network. Did you pick up your phone book the other day and almost get a hernia because of all the lawyer ads? Do you panic when you turn on the television and there is another lawyer encouraging you to call him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to find out who you can sue and what your rights are? Well, you don't need that anymore. But you know, you don't get your surgeon out of the yellow pages, and you don't need a retainer fee to listen to me. The Legal Huddle is your one-stop radio shop for everything you would ever want to know about the American legal system. I'm Ned Zelenak. I've been a prosecutor, bandleader, foreign diplomat, and advisor to presidential candidates. And as your host of The Legal Huddle, I'm uniquely qualified to answer everything you ever wanted to know about the law but were afraid to ask. And you know, if I don't know the answer, I'll make one up. You can call me with your questions, your comments, your opinions, and your feelings about our judiciary. And you know something? I will never hold you in contempt of court in The Legal Huddle. So join me and a cast of thousands here in The Legal Huddle, Sunday mornings, 9 until 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
Radio, only with Mike Malloy.
Scary, scary music. Michael is calling from L.A. Michael is symbol man at Democratic Underground. He's also part of the team at TakeBackTheMedia.com and
yes,
Ace News Guy for IE America Radio Network. Hey, Michael.
Hey, how's it going? You know, I heard you were talking about me tonight. I heard on the DU, so I had to come over and find out what's going on.
Oh, I can't repeat it in mixed company. I'm sorry.
Were you talking about the Bush is not a Nazi, so stop saying that animation?
Yeah.
You know, this guy, John Buchanan, has actually been writing us, and he said he was inspired by that animation.
That's great animation. Anybody who hasn't seen that, it's still up at TakeBackTheMedia.com, right?
Yeah, it's in the Flash section.
Yeah.
We're going to give it a high profile now that it's hitting the AP stuff.
Ted from Portland just suggested that this is possibly the intelligence community striking back at this crime family. I wouldn't be surprised. A story like this to hit the AP, this is not news. This is stuff that's been out there for anyone who wants to check it out for a number of years. But all of a sudden, AP. Interesting, huh?
Well, I'll tell you what happened. This fellow, John Buchanan, he said that he was inspired by that animation. And also, he got mad at the National Review, who called us Bush haters in their last month's issue.
They did.
Byron York.
I'm familiar with Byron York.
Yes. He owes me an apology, and I'm saying it right now on your show.
Michael, do not hold your breath waiting for that apology, right?
I'll turn blue by the time Bush gets out.
There you go.
But the truth is, this guy Buchanan is just a feisty guy. He went in there. He went in the National Archives. He's got 250 pages.
Mm.
Of actual documents that he got help out of the National Archives getting them out. And this is for real. You know, these documents do exist. Before, people were talking about it and saying the things, vesting orders were there. But this guy's got the documents. And they're going to be showing up in the memory hole. And I guess we're going to get on our site in the National, the New Hampshire Gazette.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Fowler, the New Hampshire Gazette editor, and owner of the paper, is a wonderful guy, and he backed this John Buchanan, and he's going to you just got to go out and buy a copy of this New Hampshire Gazette if you can get a hold of one. They're online.
Can you hold on?
Sure.
Or do you have to your newscast coming up is already recorded, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Let me put you on hold. We'll come back and talk about this a little bit further. Quick break here. Some news, some commercials. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. The U.S. government has launched a good news offensive in Iraq, using as props two boys Commerce Secretary Don Evans spotted by the road selling soft drinks to Baghdad's parched drivers. Evans said thousands of new businesses have sprung up here since the war, pointing out the two boys selling soda pop, but apparently ignoring the man who runs the Bank of Baghdad, Muwaffaq Mahmoud, who said unhappily, no one is applying for credit. Some people are having a hard time believing media caught between Iraq and a hard place in this American war zone, between the Bush administration that wants only to report a positive spin, and news media's own duty to report the facts. The Senate defied President Bush on Thursday and voted to convert half of his $20.3 billion Iraqi rebuilding plan into a loan, dealing the White House an embarrassing foreign policy setback. Despite an administration lobbying blitz that in recent days involved virtually every top administration official, the Republican-run chamber voted 51-47 for a bipartisan proposal making $10 billion of the aid alone. Its approval by the Senate marked the first congressional vote in opposition to Bush's policies in Iraq. It was also the latest of several setbacks that Congress has dealt him in recent months on issues including concentration of media ownership, new rules on overtime pay, and travel to Cuba. Prime Minister John Howard brushed aside charges he was a puppet of the United States after U.S. President George W. Bush called the Canberra government Washington's sheriff in Asia. Can I make it very clear? I don't see this country as being a sheriff, a deputy sheriff, as having any kind of enforcement role in our region, Howard said in a radio interview when asked about Bush's remark. American soldiers in Iraq have made heavy use of phones there to reach out and touch families back home. Some military families complain those calls have virtually stopped because of a huge increase in phone charges. The guys are very upset over there, said Edith Beach of Kirksville, Missouri. My husband said morale stinks. Sergeant First Class David Beach survived an ambush in which one of his comrades was wounded. He and his wife last spoke Monday night. He and his comrades are now paying AT&T up to $2 a minute to call home. More news after this.
Hi, my name's Maria, and I'm alive today because I was given CPR last year by Rick,
who took a class with the Red Cross after I received blood from Jamal, who gave blood
after being encouraged by my friend Angela,
who helped Jamal's whole family get the help and support they needed after losing their home to a fire.
When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. By getting involved with the Red Cross, you never know how many people your actions will affect. To get involved, visit redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together, we can save a life.
A 74-year-old Wisconsin man hit a hole-in-one and bowled a perfect 300 game in a 24-hour span earlier this week. Paul Hughes, a retired plumbing business owner, sank the hole-in-one on Monday afternoon and bowled the perfect game on Tuesday. Accomplishing both feats is rare, but it's apparently been done before. A South Dakota man is credited with doing the two in July 2000. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
While Mike was putting up his own for sale sign, someone was helping his neighbors, John and Diane, with plans to sell their home. As Mike spent Saturday figuring out legal agreements and guessing his home's value, someone was preparing a counteroffer so John could help at the school fundraiser. And while Mike and his wife were reevaluating their asking price for the third time, someone was closing the sale on John and Diane's home. Work with someone who will work with you. We're realtors. Real estate is our life.
Fat, a Americans are fat. Our children are fat. Our pets are fat. We've become a nation of unhealthy chubbos, thanks largely to the fact that we snarf down too much of too many overfatty foods. In the face of this growing health problem, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association has come out with just what the doctor didn't order. Cheeseburger fries. Yes, strips of deep-fried cheeseburgers. Instead of something lean and light to meet America's nutritional needs, the big beef purveyors have concocted a fat-soaked, calorie-laden new snack item guaranteed to add to our total tonnage. Shaped like oversized French fries, this plump delicacy is made by mushing ground beef and cheese nuggets together, then breading the mixture and plunging the strips into the deep fryer. Just one of these sticks of nutritional dynamite contains about 75 calories and up to 6 grams of fat. But no one eats just one. They generally come 5 to an order. So in one quick setting, you can pump a greasy 375 calories and 30 grams of fat into your bod. Now, I'm certainly no dainty prig of an eater. I grew up eating corn dogs and Frito pies. I just recently enjoyed a batch of deep-fried cheese curds in Minnesota, and nachos with refried beans and cheese are a way of life for me. But there's already plenty of tasty fat in our lives without larding in an extra fatty finger snack. Especially galling is the intention of the beef boys to force their corpulent creation on our children. They're now trying to market cheeseburger fries to public school cafeterias, peddling a version that contains the most fat of all. This is Jim Hightower saying, but kids' nutrition be damned. There's beef to be sold. This is about raw profiteering. As the Beef Association says, we want beef in dessert if we can get it in there. Oh, goody, cheeseburger ice cream coming up next.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. We're at 800 Talk Yes. We're talking about this story that's now across the AP wire. For most of you, you've been hearing this story or checking it out for quite some time about the dealings of the Bush family, George's grandpappy, with the Nazis, financing the Nazis. We were in the war against Nazi Germany at the very time that the Roosevelt administration had to seize the assets of Prescott Bush's bank and charge the 7 directors of that bank, including Prescott Bush, under the Trading with the Enemy Act. Now, during the break, I got an email here from Michael who says, as far as trading with the enemy, in 1942, trading with the enemy was a crime and got Prescott Bush's assets confiscated. 40 years later, trading with the enemy is what the Reagan and Bush administrations did with Saddam, and it was okay. The Bush family has profited greatly from misery and war, and it's now acceptable for them to do so. We're also talking with Michael. He is Simple Man at DemocraticUnderground.com, our LA Bureau Chief and crack news guy for the IE America Radio Network. Where were we?
Oh, that was weird hearing myself on the radio at the break. I mean, yeah. You're probably used to that.
No, anytime I hear myself, I run screaming out of the room. I can't stand it. You know, I feel like I have a voice that sounds like people walking in hobnail boots over crushed glass.
Oh, you got the great voice. You're the man. You're the guy.
Yeah. Now, where were we?
well, we're talking about the fact that these guys have, over the years, the Bush family apparently thinks that trading with the enemy is a wonderful business to be in.
It is for them. Yes.
Yeah. And they've got old Dick Cheney's folded in there with Halliburton and Bechtel with Rummy. These guys have created a big death machine, and we're all paying for it.
Is this an impeachable offense, Michael, trading with the enemy, whether it's 1942, 1982, or 2003? Is this an impeachable offense? No.
I'm wondering what happened to the War Profiteering Act.
Ah, come on now. This is, what are you?
Where is that?
What are you, against free enterprise?
Against free enterprise? Well, yeah, I guess we can sell gasoline back to the Iraqis at 200%.
Well, yeah, I haven't even done that story yet. They're buying gasoline in Kuwait for 71 cents, they being Halliburton, shipping it into Iraq, and selling it for $1.70 a gallon. Where are the profits going? And you know what Iraqis pay at the pump? They pay, I've read, about 7 or 8 cents.
Seven or eight cents.
Yeah. And
they're sitting on $1 trillion worth of oil.
Right. And so where's the profit going? If you're buying it for 71, selling it for $1.70, and it costs 7 cents to the consumer in Iraq, where's the profit going? Oh, gee, I don't know. And I don't want to know, because to know.
Nathan?
Huh?
Going to Satan?
Yeah. Well, to know the truth would mean that I am unpatriotic.
No, to know the truth is not unpatriotic. To say it.
Is that
this
it?
This administration is unpatriotic. They've got the media. They've got the people so buffaloed that they're begging them to screw them. And that's the awful part of this whole deal.
It is.
These guys, little Georgie Porgy Bush points his finger and screams, Terra, Terra. And tooth-to-tail functioning of the Department of Defense now being corporatized. Cheney sends guys in. To prepare the way for the soldiers come in, they get cheated by the Halliburton people to the point where they don't have socks or water, and then the Carlisle people sell them the bombs, they blow it all up, and who cleans it up in the end? Halliburton.
Sure.
So, you know, it's a big money-making operation, and it's paid for with our tax dollars, and people need to start screaming at the media to start telling the truth. They're complicit in this war.
Well, they are. There's no question about that. But I'll tell you what, Michael. Every time I see video on any of the news channels, any of the networks, when they're doing their toy newscasts, anytime I see the video...
Toy newscast.
Yeah, where Bush is working a crowd, usually a defense contractor, factory workers, or retired military, or whoever it is, when he's working a crowd... or like he was out in California with Schwarzenegger, and you see those faces of common folk like you, like me, with their upturned faces all aglow and their arms reaching out to George W. Bush. I swear before everything that anyone considers holy that those shots, those scenes, those pictures, those faces are exactly like the scenes that you could see in any Leni Riefenstahl documentary on Hitler or the Nazis.
That's exactly the
same.
Another Nazi flash that I did called Triumph of the Wimp. It's based upon her Triumph of the Will movie.
Yeah. Which, by the way, is one of the greatest documentaries ever made, if not the greatest.
It is the greatest propaganda documentary ever.
Absolutely.
He literally invented propaganda. And if people take classes and go and look at these things and see these movies, they'll realize how they're being lied to.
That's right. That's
you know,
right.
If your tinfoil hat is too tight, turn it around and hold it up, and it becomes a satellite dish.
It does indeed. Michael, thanks for checking in.
Yeah, we got to go do our radio show now. Thank you for having us.
All right,
keep
sir.
Keep it up.
All right, take care. Appreciate your call. Go to takebackthemedia.com. Really. Go there. There is some of these flash movies that they have there are just, or flash videos are just, well, too good for me to say, oh, they're really good. Preston is calling from Denver. He's been holding on forever. Preston, welcome to the program. This your first time calling?
Yes, it is.
Welcome aboard, sir.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
And very much appreciating the conversation. And you mentioned sometimes feeling a... kind of having a crisis of faith. I must say, I'm still confident that the little green men are still in charge.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, I just wish I could see them. I know they're there.
Terrence McKenna wrote a lot about seeing them at times.
Yeah, yeah.
And actually, Iceland has a whole tradition of fairy folklore. And
they do indeed.
A lot of countries do. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Some of my real ancestors, all the way back to the old sod in Ireland, it still fascinates me. I the leprechauns, the wee folk, the elves and fairies.
Yeah. You know, like our Santa Claus story.
Or like our story in Christian mythology.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I wanted to mention, I told your screener, I wanted to mention a couple of things about the cultural artifacts of propaganda
okay.
at times. You mentioned Leni Riefenstahl.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a counter-propaganda that's very creative. And I remember Courtney Love, you know, with Hole,
mm-hmm.
lived through this. She has a song called Olympia, which is, you know, Riefenstahl had a movie called Olympia.
The 1936 Olympics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as you listen to the song, it's a very powerful song about kind of attempts at creating a
mm-hmm.
monoculture of mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, but it never works, ultimately. You know, what you were just talking about, you know, take back the media. You know, I haven't even heard of that project, but there are just thousands of these things going on all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely at times we get caught in those traps of, you know, diversions and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen Survivor, a few moments of it anyway.
Yeah.
And I can see how it can be compelling in a way. But, you know, when people find alternatives, you know, it's...
It opens doors and clears channels.
Yes, it does.
It does indeed, and you're right. There are dozens of websites now. Thank God Al Gore invented the internet, eh? There are dozens
yeah.
dozens of websites that are trying their damnedest to be a countervailing force to the lies, the propaganda, the horrible destruction of news gathering in this country, and reportage and journalism. And some of them are doing a damn good job. The problem here is everyone has a TV, but not everyone is wired. Not everyone has access to a computer or the time that it takes to do the research, even though
yeah.
Google is there and all sorts of search engines, Dogpile, there are search engines that will take you places that you didn't know existed. But, you know, most people, really, and I,
yeah.
again, this is a sweeping generalization, but it's a generalization because it's true. Most
yeah.
people will not take the time, A or B, are terrified of what they might find out. It's very easy to
true.
Sit back and just like little baby birds in a nest, take what mom has pre-digested and forces down our little gullets. It's very easy to do that when you have a society like ours. So sad.
Yes.
So tragic.
But, you know, even in that realm, I think with, like, the Buddhist movement, people are talking about dealing with those kind of traumatic, you know, experiences. I mean, reading someone like Noam Chomsky, I think,
mm-hmm.
can be very difficult on a lot of levels.
It's very threatening.
Yeah.
Very threatening.
And, but there are stories to get us through.
Yeah.
And there's music to get us through.
Absolutely.
And there are people assisting each other and helping them find this material. And I think, like, New Dimensions,
mm-hmm.
they've done a lot of good work on kind of green psychology issues and
right.
psychology and social activism and things like that, helping people along. And Thich Nhat Hanh, I mean, that guy in and of himself is a movement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, there are answers out there. But the problem, of course, you get a few answers and it leads to more questions, and it becomes just almost an endless road. But God knows it's a road that you've got to travel down. You have to, or be content to live in this jazzed-up culture that is 99% Frank Zappa said 95% of everything is blank. I can't say it because I'm on the radio here.
Okay.
But you can imagine what he
yeah.
said, and it's very true. And and again, I'm just extremely glad that Al Gore invented the internet, because it allows those pathways to develop, and they will develop. You give take away the resistance, and the pathways do develop.
Yeah, and I think some of the old pathways are being used in interesting ways. I mean, you mentioned channels being cleared. Clear channel radio often takes a lot of criticism, and deservedly so. But even on that big corporate machine, the Leviathan, there's a lot of interesting discussions going on. I mean, Sean Hannity has had people like Medea Benjamin of Global Exchange on his program.
Well, if you can listen to what she says and eliminate the part that he says, there's some stuff there, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Hey, Preston, we got a break. I'm glad you called. Thank you for finding the program. Do call us again.
My pleasure, man.
All right,
and,
sir.
One quick thing.
Sure.
The September 29th issue of In These Times, there's a letter to the editor that mentions your project. And I just wanted to alert you to that publicity
great.
You guys are getting.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Sure thing.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Preston. Take care.
Propaganda. If you need to change the subject, it's a dandy. If you want to wag the dog, it's like falling off a log. It's so easy with propaganda. 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 Try and convince the folks the beach is never sandy. You can convert into lies what they've seen with their own eyes. It's amazing. Propaganda. Life is so complex.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples.
Aww.
Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get your stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Show.
Gizmo's back on the line in Tucson, Arizona.
First off, I'd like to tell you I'm on Sirius Radio 145 Left, and say hi to my other trucker buddies out there that listen to you, Kodiak and James. And
great.
I pulled this 18-wheel car over to the side of the road to speak with you. I've read a couple articles that suggested that Bush Sr., had he gotten a second term, would have followed pretty much the same lines to go to war with Iraq. I'm wondering if there wasn't some kind of conspiracy all the way back to the 2000 election to get Jr. in so he could go ahead and fulfill the plans designed for their father in his second term. I enjoy your program. You're very informative, and I've learned a lot from listening to you, and I appreciate your program, Tom, so keep it up.
Well, thank you, Gizmo. That's very kind of you, and thanks for pulling the 18-wheeler off to the side. I didn't realize you were driving a truck. That's remarkable.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk. Not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
Ooh.
You hate me?
Why don't I put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Right-wing talk radio, you found a home with Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. So we talked with Michael, the West Coast half of take that backthemedia.com, and Don, the East Coast half from Long Island, our bureau chief up there, is checking in. Hey, Don.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm good. Long time no talk.
I know. I figured you were just kind of pissed off at me.
No way.
No, just kidding.
You know what? It gets about the time that you are on the air is when I start getting ready for the newscast the next day.
I know. I understand.
Yeah. Boy, I'll tell you, things are breaking wet. Ten different ways loose here.
Well, I'm sure you've been told this by a lot of people, but let me add to it. I told Michael, I am so glad that you guys are doing the news on this network. It's just good to hear someone reporting the sort of stories that you're reporting. So we're very grateful.
And you know what's kind of weird? We are actually trying to be relatively conservative about it.
Yeah.
We don't want to lean too far, we're only 3 weeks in at this point, but...
Well, I think people who know you and Michael and know TakeBackTheMedia.com know exactly what you're doing and why you're doing it the way you're doing it. So I think you're being very effective.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be on the same network as you, you know?
Yeah, it's great.
It's kind of an odd left turn from from when we talked back at Democracy Radio.
Yeah.
But... I just wanted to kind of pick up the thread on John Buchanan.
Okay, that's the person who is doing the footwork on the Bush and the Nazis.
Yeah, and I'm sure you know by now that AP has picked it up.
Yeah, we were talking about that.
And tomorrow night, I don't know if Mike had mentioned it to you. I caught the last 5 minutes of his call. But tomorrow night, a man named John Loftus, I'm sure you know who he is.
Well, he's the one that wrote the book. What was the book? I know who he is.
Well, he's giving a speech tomorrow night in Jerusalem, and this whole topic is supposedly going to be right up there on his agenda of things to speak about. He's actually stepped forward and given Buchanan quite a bit of assistance mm-hmm. on his story, believe mm-hmm. it or not. So I don't think this is done breaking quite yet.
Well, let me qualify just a tad. I think that in the foreign press, the European press will appreciate this story and publicize this story to a greater degree. The British press will.
Oh, without a doubt.
And the Middle Eastern press. Now, the sad part is, during World War II, a lot of Arab states supported the Nazis.
Yeah.
But if this guy is going to speak in Jerusalem, a little sidebar, I frankly think that Ariel Sharon qualifies not as a Nazi, but as a fascist.
Yeah.
By the same token, the country it was founded by and still contains many people who are death camp survivors or relatives of the death camps. And to understand, like, I would assume that most informed Israelis do understand that Prescott Bush, the Bush family, were responsible in a financial way, which is the most direct way when you're starting a war and the extermination of a people, directly responsible in the rise of Nazism in terms of the bucks, the money, okay?
Yeah.
So how the Israelis can align themselves with this Bush crime family is I think, a classic example of, the enemy of my friend is my enemy.
Yeah. Well, it's I don't even know how much popular support is there for Sharon's policies at this point. And the alignment is not so much the Israeli people with Bush as much as it is Sharon with Bush. And that's a crucial difference.
You're right, but I think the support for Sharon is solid enough because regardless of the politics, let's take the politics out, let's take justice out, and let's just deal with suicide bombers blowing up innocent civilians.
Right.
Based on that horrific reality, And based on the fact that Sharon says, if they bomb us, we will retaliate. And we all know that that doesn't work. Take a look at whether or not it stopped the suicide bombings. The Israeli people, I think, still support Sharon out of a sense of desperation, because nobody has appeared recently on the Israeli political scene who can try or attempt to solve this, just like nobody has appeared on the Palestinian side. Hey, hold on a second. I'll come back to you. We got to do a break here. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Young Americans don't know much about geography, but the tools that could help them learn are getting better all the time. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. A recent survey sponsored by National Geographic found a lot of ignorance about the layout of the world among 18 to 24-year-old Americans. For example, 30% of them could not locate the Pacific Ocean on a map. Bill Stair is the former president of National Geographic Maps.
11% of young citizens of the United States can't even locate the United States on a map. More young people in the United States know where the island featured in last season's TV show Survivor, where it's located, than can find Israel on a map. And, you know, to understand what's going on in the world, we have to know something about it.
Sweden, Germany, and Italy scored highest among those surveyed. Stair says those countries place more emphasis on travel and the study of language and geography. But he says Americans have plenty of opportunity to learn about the world because the tools to do so are getting better all the time. Information and images collected from satellites make it possible to add detail to maps like never before. Stair says a lot of that information is readily available, both on the Internet and in books. For example, he says the new edition of the National Geographic World Atlas for Young Explorers includes up-to-date satellite imagery designed to catch the eye of even today's most video-dependent kids. Stair says parents need to get these kinds of brightly illustrated books into their homes. He says they should leave them out in plain view, maybe next to the TV remote control, where their children can easily pick them up and browse. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
We have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Truth, Justice, and the American Way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
Yeah, let's just kick back and listen to Pink Floyd. All right, back to Don, our Long Island bureau chief, rock star, news guy, and one of the, I always say co-founder of TakeBackTheMedia.com. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Mike and I started it. We're coming up on our first year anniversary.
It's only been a year.
It's only been a year, and I got to say, looking back on this year, it's been pretty wild. I mean, we've been on O'Reilly, we've been on MSNBC, we got nasty editorials written about us. Big year.
time just rips by when you're having fun, doesn't it?
Oh, I'm telling you, without a doubt.
Yeah.
But back to John Buchanan. I've had, I guess, out of everyone, I think he's called me on the phone about five times in the past week.
Mm-hmm.
He is so, I guess the word you could use is dogged on this story. And the man, he's a wild man.
Mm-hmm.
he's a retired journalist. You know, he's been out of the business. He does, like, features for a couple of papers down in Miami on a freelance basis. And it's weird because he kind of credits us with being the whole impetus behind him doing this entire story. And I'm sitting here looking at the AP report, and it's pretty amazing.
Let me ask you this from a real world perspective. All right, it's Friday night. AP comes out with a story a couple hours ago. It's going to, I believe, it's going to crash and burn over the weekend.
I wouldn't doubt it.
What difference does it make at this point to the American sheeple whether or not Bush's grandfather was a financial backer of Adolf Hitler? And the reason I ask that, you know, when the stories about Schwarzenegger came out, everybody said, "Oh man, that was 20 years ago." Well, this is like a 60 years ago, 70 years ago, and you know how the right wingers say, "Oh yeah, well you're just that's class warfare. Well, you're just attacking the Bush. Don't you have any family value? You know, that kind of thing."
Sure, yeah. Byron York went out of his way to call us Bush haters.
Yeah, right.
You have a point, Mike. The net result of this may be nothing, but it's another drop in the bucket, along with outing a CIA agent and along with lying us into an illegitimate war against an unarmed country. The net effect of this one story may be nothing, but the net effect of all these stories may change a few people's minds.
The old water torture idea: drip, drip,
yep.
Drip, drip.
Exactly.
Yeah. I can agree with that, and I can hope. The other thing is the possibility that these stories coming out, while middle America may not discuss this on an ongoing basis, if they see the story about Bush and the Nazis, if they remember the story about Valerie Plame, if they think about no weapons of mass destruction, if it's filtered back in there in the deep memory banks, when it comes time to push a touchscreen a button or vote, maybe, if the voting is anywhere near legal, maybe it'll be the end of this crime family for this generation. It will resurface again.
Oh, for sure.
The Bush crime family is like a vampire. There's no way to stop it unless you have a silver bullet. Uh-oh, now I'm going to get arrested.
Yeah, really.
Or a huge wooden stake. But they already have started with the next generation of these thugs and thieves. They're all being trained and ready to step in and take over when this segment of the Bush crime family becomes history. You know, 40 years from now, somebody on some radio show someplace, or 50 years from now, will say, "Hey, you know, way back there in the 80s, and a matter of fact, back in 2003, these people were trading with the enemy." You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But
that's where it falls down to us. We've got to keep rattling those pans.
That's right.
You know, and yeah, at this point, it's really all we can do, you know, and you've been doing it a whole lot longer than we have, but we're perfectly happy to get in there and rattle pans with you, because that's how the right started. That's what started happening back in 1980 when they started grousing about the liberal media.
Yeah.
And you think of how that's been absorbed into the fabric of this country over 20 years.
That's right.
It might take us 20 years to pull it back. I hope that they don't do something really completely destructive before then. But in the meantime, what else do we have to do besides keep yelling it from the rooftops and hope that people begin to listen.
That's very true. Hey, Don, good to hear from you. Don't be such a stranger.
Okay.
All right, sir. Thanks for checking in.
Thank you, Mike.
Have a good weekend. Bang in the pans. Now I want to go hear some U2 music. Now all of a sudden I want to hear U2. As soon as he said that. Micah is calling from Miami. Micah, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Your program is wonderful. It's an oasis.
a candle in the wind, a light in the darkness.
It is. You know what? This is the strangest show tonight. I listen to your show almost regularly, and tonight you had two people on from Kansas City, and I'm from Kansas City, so it was so weird to hear these guys from Kansas City, from Wyandotte in Kansas City, Kansas. I'm from Prairie Village, Kansas.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, it's the phase of the moon. It's working in
very strange. Yeah. Anyway, I was calling because, first of all, let me just say one compliment. I don't know who chooses your music, but your music's been great lately. I mean,
well, the woman who answers the phone is also our producer, and she has. We have a music bureau chief, a guy in Arkansas who provides.
Music bureau chief.
Yeah, who provides a lot of the music, but Kathy's a genius when it comes to coordinating or correlating music with what we're talking about.
Yeah, the music's been great, and did I hear Steve Earle tonight? Who played Steve Earle?
I think you did.
Oh man, Steve Earle is great. Anyway, I was wanted to comment. Did you pick up this was about a week and a half ago, and I couldn't call because it was just everything was too depressing that I couldn't give you the story. But it's Friday night, so what the heck? An AP story about Bush's poem.
No, what poem?
Oh my God, this is the greatest story.
Well, do it.
Okay, here it is. It's an AP story. It was about 2 weeks ago. I thought it was The Onion. I swear. And it's a story about pickles coming back from Europe.
Yeah.
And she in the headline of the story was Bush is not just the president, he's a poet.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
And so this whole story was about Pickles saying, you know, my president's this great leader. He's the leader of our country, blah, blah, blah. But did anyone know he's a great poet? And he wrote this poem for me when I came back, and here it is. And they printed this poem.
How did I miss this?
Well.
All right. Do you have it?
I have the poem. Here it is.
Okay.
So here's the poem. This is Bush's poem. Now, I swear, if I laugh in the middle, I've been laughing, you know, for days about this, but I've laughed. Please forgive me.
Okay.
Roses are red, violets are blue. Oh, my lump in the bed, how I've missed you. See, he calls his wife lump in the bed.
Yeah, I remember when
nickname.
I remember when he did that, yeah.
Roses are redder, bluer am I, seeing you kissed by that charming French guy. You know, she got kissed by that French guy.
Yeah, he did.
Dogs, and this is where he gets into his little, he doesn't really rhyme very well in this next little part.
Okay.
The dogs and the cat, they missed you too. Barney's still mad you dropped him, he ate your shoe. The distance, my dear, has been such a barrier. Next time you want an adventure, just land on a carrier. And you know, you read this and you think, you've got to be kidding. This can't be true.
This can't be true, Micah.
But it is. It's true. I swear. It's true. This was AP. It was in Google. You know, and if you go to Google, I swear, if you go to Google and you go under Bush poem, you will find somewhere an article about this poem. I mean, it's hysterical. And the whole article is hysterical. It's like it's written by someone from The Onion. I mean, you would think it's The Onion. So
yeah.
Google Bush's poem.
Okay. All right. Everybody is right now who listens to this program, all 36 people who listen to this program are clicking on to Google to find it. Here it is. Roses are red, violets are blue. Oh, my lump in the bed, how I've missed you. Roses are red or blue, or am I seeing you kissed by that charming French guy?
There you go.
Oh, my God. No, this can't.
But you got to read the story.
Yeah.
The story's the funniest part because it's written like, you know, it's like one of those articles that it's the same positive. The same positive stuff that they're putting out about the war. It was like this positive spin, like when Elizabeth Dole walked around the convention and talked about how, you know, Bob Dole was this really charming guy. You know,
right,
it's the same kind of thing.
Right.
So it's just like positive spin that Bush is, you know, not just this, you know, he's not just our fearless leader, but he's a poet.
Yeah. So was Mao.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, thanks, Micah.
Hey, no problem.
Thanks for checking in. I appreciate your call. Our Detroit bureau chief is checking in. Hey, Daryl.
Hey, Mike. So was Mao.
Well, yeah, he was a great poem.
That's right. He sure was.
He was a good swimmer.
He
was a good swimmer.
A lot of people.
Yeah, didn't he? He was a good swimmer. Every time he got in political trouble, which was not that often in China, but he would go swim the Yangtze River. I'm waiting for Bush to swim in the Potomac.
But what you didn't understand is that his entourage
mm-hmm.
was swimming with him, and a few of them didn't get come out of the water.
Well, that's just the price of...
Yeah, that's the way to handle that.
That's what happens when you follow the deer leader into the river, you know, or
the
something.
Abyss. Yes, yes. Oh, my goodness. Yes, I will be using that. Thank you very much for calling in, last caller. I will be posting that on as many websites as I possibly can. I have been amazed with the number of people who are able to extract lies from truth and twist things up
mm-hmm.
that are down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having a running argument with an individual on the Internet claiming that, no, Bush did not lie about weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah.
And no matter how many points I can point to where the administration is admitting that it lied.
Right.
I still cannot get this guy to stop saying, oh, no, well, he told the truth. And even though he told the truth, it was a good thing because Saddam needed to go.
Well, you know, I really appreciate the effort that guys like you make when you come into a wrestling match on the Internet with one of these right-wing, brain-dead, knuckle-dragging mouth breathers. And you guys will try and try and try, and you present evidence. I see this on my website in the discussion groups every day. People who post on MikeMalloy.com in the message boards, they will get one of these little trolls who comes to the site to argue. And the regulars at my board will post fact after fact after fact after you see this at Democratic Underground, you see it at Bart Cop, you see it with Daryl and Detroit bureau chief. Why do you guys do it? Why do you care? You know, I stay completely away from those discussions because you know, when I used to get involved on discussion groups or message boards, but I have learned that you might as well talk to a wall. So why do you keep doing it? I mean, I respect you for doing it, but why?
I've got the answer for you.
All right.
The reason we do it is not because of the person to whom we are targeting the information. We do not expect to make a convert. What we expect to be able to do is to address the doubts and fears of the lurkers.
Okay.
There are probably 100 lurkers for every poster.
That makes
People
sense.
People come and read, and if you leave unchallenged,
yeah.
A lie that is posted by one of these, never mind, okay, no
mm-hmm.
curse words?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, one of these individuals, they believe it is truth. And
all right, that's a good answer. I don't know why I hadn't thought about that, but that's it precisely.
And that's the only reason I've invested hours.
Mm-hmm.
I probably should not admit to that, but I probably invested maybe months, if not longer,
mm-hmm.
in battling, not to battle for the mind of the individual posting stuff, because I know that that person is representing, though, ideas and half-baked ideas that are carried by many more people. And if you don't have a comeback, if that's the last thing on the page or the latest in the series of things posted in the thread, then that becomes the truth. And it's weird, I think, in this day and age, you think we have enlightenment, but I really believe it's the last person who talks who actually makes the point.
Mm-hmm. That explains it, Daryl.
Yeah, and so we do it. It may be analogous to why you continue to do what you're doing.
Well, that could you. Well, you make a good point.
I am so happy that you have a much larger audience than I do, and you certainly have a lot longer staying power.
We're up to 45 or 50 listeners at this point.
Hey, and I could kind of hear you a little bit on the radio, but I decided to call in. It's a lot easier to hear you on the cell phone when I'm waiting. So it was really good reception tonight, I don't want to take up all the balance of the time.
Well, let me tell you, the station that carries us in the Detroit area, the Ypsilanti station, WSDS, as the weather up there gets colder, it'll be easier. That's just the nature of radio waves, AM radio waves. As the weather gets colder in the Detroit area, in central Michigan, I wouldn't be surprised if another month or two you'll be able to tune in WSDS from where you live, and it'll come in crisp and clear. There are many nights down here in the winter when I will tune in my old radio station in Chicago, WLS, and it just comes in as clear as though it were being broadcast here in Atlanta. So the colder, the colder the weather gets, the colder and drier, the more that signal will bounce.
You're quite right. I have actually heard it, though. All I have to do is go a few miles west of where I am, and it starts to come in. It's really weird when it goes from country music to
that'll give you whiplash, pal.
That's really it is really weird, but hey, I am so glad to hear you on, because I know there are a lot of people out there in the wilderness. I don't know if you know the general area up here, but that's probably a very good place for that station to be.
Oh, it is. The Ypsilanti Station, it's halfway between, or it's kind of halfway between Detroit and Ann Arbor. And that's a good location. Hey, Daryl, we got a boogie.
Talk to you later.
All right, sir. Have a good weekend.
Have a good weekend. You
okay. Robert sent this in. Tomorrow on Prairie Home Companion, Garrison Keillor. I don't know when it comes in your market here in Atlanta. When's it come on? 7 o'clock, Kathy? I think 7 o'clock Eastern. 6 o'clock Eastern time. Al Franken. Al Franken is going to be on Prairie Home Companion tomorrow night. That is a must listen. We'll be right back.
Shout the last word, put your good sense out the pasture. Drop your IQ, that's what I do. My advice to girls and guys who want to be a Nobel Prize finalist. Rocket scientists, try applying this. Keep the customers coming around. If you're smart, then you better start dumbing it down. Don't say anything too profound. Dumb it down.
Oh, hon, it's cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
Need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
I'm
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple. Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show, where we serve you food with attitude, plus a heaping helping of humor.
And a playful pinch of romance.
It's all about food, family, and fun.
We'll help you juggle kids, kitchen, career, health, and relationships with passion and commitment.
We cover everything from new product reviews and consumer information to quick, simple, and easy recipes just for the two of you.
Plus parenting tips and tricks.
Cooking advice to save time and money.
Nutrition news and healthier living.
Entertainment options for the whole family.
And how to tag team manage kids, career, life, and relationships.
Plus, I'll tell you how to train your in-laws so they don't become outlaws.
So tune in every Sunday from 12 noon to 2 right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, young one, tofu, and you.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple.
Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show,
where we serve you food with attitude plus a heaping helping of humor. It's all about food, family, and fun.
So tune in every Sunday from noon to 2 for nutrition, fitness, innovative products, consumer tips, and entertainment options for the whole family.
It's the Cooking Couple Show. And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, young one, tofu, and you.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. Man, it's almost going home time. Wayne is calling from Seattle. Wayne, I got about 2 minutes, pal.
All right. I want to see Pickles land on a carrier and and George get kissed by the French guy.
That'd be worth staying up late for, wouldn't it?
Anyway, do you realize that Lieberman just got booed again?
No.
How many times does this guy have to get booed before he decides to drop out?
Where was he speaking?
Listen to this. I know you don't like reading. I'll just read like one sentence.
Go ahead.
He was speaking in front of the Arab American Institute, and this is what he said that got people a little riled. He was defending the security fence that Israel's building in the West Bank as a temporary nuisance that would be removed once the Palestinian leadership makes 100% effort to end terrorism.
And he said this before a group of Arab Americans.
Yeah, he said he's got the inside line on Sharon. He knows for a fact that, you know, once the Palestinian leadership makes that 100% effort, Sharon's just going to tear the whole thing down.
I wish Joe Lieberman would get out of the way, B, just declare himself a Republican Bush lover and get to work on furthering the Bush agenda.
I think, you know, if he ends up the nominee, I'm just going to hang it up, you know?
Never happen. Yeah. Because of what I said earlier, this is America. This is a racist, anti-Semitic society that is always just one step away from full-blown fascism. And I said earlier, Joe Lieberman could be a bleeding heart liberal of the highest degree, but because he's an Orthodox Jew, no chance, not now, not ever in this country.
According to the article in the Washington Post, all the other candidates phoned in over telephoto or televideo hookup because they were busy voting on this $87 billion, but I guess Lieberman didn't feel that was important.
Nah.
He doesn't want to get pinned down taking a stand.
Right. And sadly, he doesn't realize that not voting is that kind of pins you down, too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Hey, listen, we're out of time. Wayne, thank you.
Have a good weekend.
All right, sir. You too. I appreciate you checking in. Let's go home and build a fire in the fireplace, Kathy, and you can have your standard cup of hot tea, and I'll have a Jack Black and Coca-Cola, huh? Program engineered tonight in Detroit by Jay Bilecki, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. Many thanks to Mark Marshall, MaximumInteractive.com for our website, and our militant moderators who keep things flowing on the message boards. Check it out. It's fun. MikeMalloy.com. Also, Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief, and the guys at TakeBackTheMedia.com. And I could sit here and go on and on and on. Ben Burt, Shelby Lepre, everybody who contributes to this program, our senior correspondent, Chris in Minnesota, everybody, thank you so much. Have a great weekend. I'll see you Monday, I hope. I really hope. Take care. Have a great weekend, Kevin, Kenny, wherever you are.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Xie xie is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really, Nancy?
Fan ji la is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Fan ji la.
You know everything.
Xie xie.
I should have watched MSNBC.
You should have.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.